This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo, and the E.P. and Non-Erotic Podcast. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions with bonus episodes. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Every Schoolboy's Dream by Tramps and Thieves. Chapter 01. The Proposition. I was standing on the front stoop of number 24 Mulberry Street, holding a large pizza box, when the door opened to reveal a MILF in a candy apple red, form-fitting cocktail dress. The lower hem of the eye-grabbing outfit went about halfway to her knees. Her slender waist and long legs accentuated her lovely hips, which were not overly curvy, but told every male who saw her. "This is where babies are made." She had on a pair of tan pumps that made her gazelle-like legs seem even longer while not taking the viewer's eyes away from any of the more important parts. The dress top was strapless and sleeveless, which left her tan arms and shoulders bare to the wandering eye, causing the mind to wonder if there were any tan lines at all. The full breasts, trapped within the tight bodice, looked like they were trying to escape. Her dark brown hair had a little natural curl and hung down her back to her shoulder blades. A thin gold chain, draped around her neck, enticed the eye to pause on her slender, scrumptious throat. She wore no makeup. It was unnecessary. Unlike so many, her eyebrows had not been manipulated into anything weird or unnatural. She was, simply, beautiful. I finished eye-fucking her gorgeous body and looked up at those intelligent brown eyes which appeared to be waiting for my honest assessment. You may ask yourself, how do you know she's a MILF just by looking at her? The answer, dear friends, is that just 2 weeks ago this absolute knockout was my high school science teacher.
Oh. Hello, Mrs. Williams. I've got your pizza here.
Reggie. What a nice surprise.
Mom.
Casey groaned.
You specifically asked for him by name when you called in the order.
Hush.
The woman told the teenager behind her, never looking away from me. The girl, a younger version of the vision in front of me, was standing in the foyer. This dazzling beauty was the woman's daughter and my former classmate Casey. Either of these women could easily have served as the subject of a Luo Li Rong sculpture.
So, Reggie, I have a personal question for you.
The woman informed me.
Okay.
My mind started analyzing this conversation to figure out where we were going, and I had to rein my brain back in to focus on her words.
Would you go out with me?
I was tempted to look behind me to see if somebody else had walked up. I hadn't heard anybody approach, and she had, specifically, said my name. She was, obviously, talking to me. Was she really asking me out?
On a date?
Yes.
Within nanoseconds, my brain analyzed all of the data I had available at this point. So far, I had hot MILF plus me plus some sort of activity that normally included only two people and had the possibility, however remote, of becoming intimate, but at a minimum meant walking around in public with the aforementioned MILF, likely giving me an excuse to hold her hand and maybe even beg a kiss.
Yes?
Just to be clear, I will have you come pick me up. We will go out for dinner, my treat. Afterwards, we'll come home, rent a movie, and end up in my bed for the night. In the morning, I will fix you breakfast and we may, or may not, have sex again before you go home.
Sex. I was sure that was the word.
Pretty sure.
No.
She had said it. She'd suggested it when talking about her bed.
Her.
Bed. And then she had definitely said the word and stated that there might be a repeat of the bed thing. Not a bed thing where you lie there and read a book.
Not sleeping.
Not relaxing.
Not talking about science.
Intercourse.
Fucking.
She had said.
Sex.
And.
Again.
Her bed.
Sex.
Me.
Her.
Sex. Pretty sure I'm not confusing any of the details.
I should still probably check, though.
You and me?
Yes.
In your bed?
Yes.
I stared at her in absolute disbelief. She was still waiting for an answer.
Just to confirm, the hottest teacher in school is going to feed me for free and we might have sex once or twice.
Yes.
She replied, a light grin curling the corner of her mouth and showing me dimples that I'd never realized she had.
That's a hard yes, ma'am.
She grinned. I thought it might have been at the double entendre with the word hard, but I didn't really care. She had said we would have sex and she was smiling.
Can Casey watch?
I, immediately, looked around at her daughter's face. Casey, hearing her name and seeing my head spin her direction, cast her eyes to the tiled floor. A couple of her teeth were worrying her lower lip. She refused to look up at me.
Was she reluctant?
Embarrassed?
Afraid?
She hadn't run off. She was waiting. Waiting to hear my answer? Sex with a total MILF, while her hot daughter was in the room and possibly, watching?
That would be her choice, but that's definitely not a problem for me.
Splendid.
Are you available next Friday and Saturday?
At that moment, I had no clue if there was anything on my calendar. Meeting with the president?
Cancelled.
ceremony for me to receive the Nobel Peace Prize? Fuck that noise. I am now.
Good. How much do I owe you for the pizza?
I looked down. There was a pizza in my hands.
Where did that come from?
I passed it over to the hot-ass teacher in the sexy dress and smiled.
It's on me, I said. See you next Friday.
Mrs. Williams winked at me and closed the door. As I walked, well, actually skipped to the car, I could hear Casey scolding her mother. Casey and I were two of the 87 kids that had graduated from Belmont High School 2 weeks ago. Our senior class had three cheerleaders on the squad. I'm probably a little biased, but our three girls were hotter than all of the others put together, and Casey was the hottest of them all. Naturally blonde hair with just enough curl to hover between cute and hot, crystal blue eyes, and a Baywatch body, she was a 10 on anybody's scale. She had hardly talked to me during our 4 years together. She was no prude, she didn't ignore me nor I her, we just didn't operate in the same circles. I was in the computer club, she was in the school play. I was in Spanish, she was in French. I went to Scholastic Bowl practice, she went to cheerleading practice. Mrs. Williams was, as I had just told her to her face, absolutely, without question, the hottest teacher at our school. In the school yearbook, if there had been a category titled, Teacher Most Jerked Off To by Students and Co-workers Alike, Mrs. Williams' picture would have appeared there, probably in that red dress.
Fuck.
Old man Jenkins, the janitor, disappeared into the mop closet and locked the door for a half hour anytime he passed Mrs. Williams in the hall. Word was that Mr. Sanderson, the principal, had been trying to cozy up to her ever since her husband passed away 2 years ago. The people I had talked to claimed he'd even hit on her at the funeral. Casey absolutely hated the guy's guts, everybody knew that, so I had always kind of believed that rumor. Mrs. Williams taught biology, physiology, and anatomy. She knew her shit. You were guaranteed to be ready for your college courses if you survived her classes, but she didn't put up with any nonsense. She was as serious as death itself. Fuck around in her class, and if you were lucky, she'd just get pissed and send you to the principal's office. If you weren't lucky, she'd assign a paper to the whole class through the next day and then spend the rest of the period making you race to scribble down lecture notes before she erased the board and pushed on to the next chapter. I had just been propositioned by Mrs. Doesn't Fuck Around herself. I honestly couldn't tell you what happened the rest of the night. Fridays are always big delivery nights, and I know when I got home I had a wad of cash in my pocket, but I had no recollection of how it got there or anything else after being told I was going to have sex with the world's hottest teacher with the bonus possibility that her super hot daughter might watch. Holy. Fuck. Needless to say, I didn't have to use much imagination while jerking off before I went to bed that night, or the next night, or the next. I was enrolled in fall classes at the local community college, but didn't have any big plans for the summer. Actually, my plan was to work as many hours as possible at Pop's Pizza, and save everything I could for a new laptop. My desktop PC wasn't that old, but I was pretty sure I was going to want a portable to be able to take it to classes with me. If I got enough money to buy the laptop, and still had something left, the crap mobile I was driving could really use some new tires. Wednesday afternoon came, and I had a delivery down the street from Casey's house. I suddenly realized that I didn't know what time I was supposed to show up on Friday. There was also a big chunk of my brain that wondered if Mrs. Williams had been drunk or pranking me. I decided that I'd better check. I rang the bell and waited. Casey answered the door.
Hey,
I said sheepishly.
Hey.
She responded, just as quietly.
So. Friday.
I started, nervously.
It's okay.
She gushed.
You don't have to. I'll tell her.
What?
No.
I. My eyes dropped. My brain went sideways. I looked back at her.
Are you okay with this?
I asked. She was back to staring at the floor again, biting that lip so cute.
Seriously.
I said.
You say the word and I'll just go have sex with somebody else's mom Friday night.
Her eyes shot up to my face. I grinned and winked. Her tension evaporated, and she broke into a belly laugh.
Thanks.
Thank you,
she said. I needed that.
No.
She's serious. You probably know that from having her in class. Fuck, this is so weird. But no, she's been giddy all week. What time should I be here?
Oh.
I think she expected you between 5 and 6. She's not real picky about that part, more worried about later on. What time do you think?
5.
If you wait until 6, she'll start freaking out, thinking you're not coming.
Okay. I started to turn to leave.
Hey?
She called.
Yeah? Are you seriously okay with me?
Watching? Other than me wondering if I can handle the pressure?
No problem.
Fuck.
I'm so anxious about this that I probably won't even be able to get it up.
I could feel my face flushing a little as I looked into her eyes.
You know you have a huge hard-on right now, right?
She asked, grinning. I looked down at the tent in my pants, which I hadn't even realized was there.
Right. Well, I may be looking forward to this a little. I should probably admit that I'm looking forward to it as well.
She said, chuckling.
It's just harder for you to tell.
I looked down at her crotch, which obviously didn't look like mine did, but as my eyes moved back up her body to her face, I noticed that her nipples, as tiny as they were rock hard against the material of the t-shirt she was wearing. My eyes lingered on those tiny, stiff teats a little too long. 22 caliber nipples, standing proudly, on top of those firm B-cup breasts. Almost C's. I suddenly realized I'd been staring, directly at her chest, for far longer than was socially acceptable. I bit my lower lip and looked into her eyes.
Hi.
I said sheepishly. She started laughing again.
You should have been in drama club, that was very well done.
I bowed with a flourish and said,
Why thank you, my lady.
She smothered a giggle and said,
I need to go, but I'm...
We are. Looking forward to seeing you around 5 on Friday. Not knowing how to finish my little act, I took her hand, kissed the back of it, and said,
5 on Friday, be still, my beating heart.
Halfway to the car, I yelled,
How should I dress?
Nothing fancy.
A shirt and jeans should be fine, I think.
I waved my thanks. In a repeat of Friday night, I finished the rest of my shift in a lust-induced fog. My Wednesday night and Thursday night jerk sessions were just as violent as the weekends had been. Thinking about Casey's eyes on me as I buried my prick in her willing mother was the stuff of fantasies. Friday, I was up early staring at the clock which wasn't moving. I'm pretty sure I showered 3 times.
Was the clock dead?
No. The second hand was still moving. Slowly. I was a wreck. I had jerked off at least 2 in the shower, but as I drove to Casey's house I was already rock hard again. Why do I only see it as being her house? I had brought a duffel bag with a change of clothes but left it in the car so I wouldn't look like a dweeb. The revelation. The door opened and I stepped inside to find Mrs. Williams in a sexy nightie, a red baby doll that was nearly transparent, hiding behind the door so that nobody outside, or across the street, could see her. When this goddess had clothes on, she was gorgeous, when you could just make out her areolas, which were the size of silver dollars, through the material of the lingerie she was wearing. I just about jizzed. She eased the door shut.
I hope delivery is okay. I know I promised we'd go out, but I can't wait any longer.
I raised my right hand to the side of my face and clawed my fingernails into my cheek and ear hard enough to make my eyes water.
Reggie! What are you doing?
Pinching myself. I replied. To make sure I'm not dreaming. 2 motherly arms wrapped around me and drew my face in to smother it between a pair of the most beautiful breasts I've ever seen in my life. It felt like heaven. She smelled nice and naughty all at the same time. My breath caught in my throat and I must have passed out. I woke up lying on the couch with my head on Mrs. Williams' lingerie-covered lap. Casey was sitting on a kitchen chair, next to us, fanning me gently. When she saw my eyes open and I looked over at her, she yelled at me.
You scared us to death. And you weigh a ton.
Okay, Case. He's awake. Now can I fuck him?
Mom.
Case.
Baby.
Mommy's so horny. It's been 2 fucking years.
I need a dick so bad. Knock that shit off.
She growled sternly. I looked from daughter to mother. Well, actually, I couldn't see her mom's face. My vision was filled with 2 gorgeous breasts, and back to the daughter.
If it's all the same.
I told my former classmate.
I'm not feeling that hungry right now.
Casey stopped fanning me, and punched me in the arm.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams yelled as she bounced out from under me and started unbuckling and unzipping my blue jeans.
Mom! At least take his shoes off first. For fuck's sake. Are you doing this right here?
Yes.
I can't wait any longer. I'm so damned horny. I need him inside of me.
Mom. He just passed out.
You expect him to jump on top of you and start ramming his cock in? We don't even know if he's okay. Slow the hell down. Besides, you should probably start out on top to give us time to see if he's alright and time for him to get used to you.
You're seriously a little too excited right now.
Oh. Case. You're probably right.
Let me finish undressing him. My shoes were yanked off, they went who knows where, and then my pants followed. For an instant, she hesitated, looking at my tented briefs. I couldn't tell if she was savoring the moment, or having second thoughts, and then she whipped those to my knees and climbed onto the couch to straddle my waist without any further delay. I briefly glanced to the floor where the sexy negligee had been discarded, suddenly realizing that she had never been wearing panties.
Oh. Yes.
She moaned, taking my dick into her hand, slowly starting to stroke it, apparently assessing the length and girth.
Mama needs a nice, strong cock. This cock will do nicely.
Casey got up from where she'd been watching, grabbed the waistband of my underwear from where they were binding my knees, and pulled them the rest of the way off, throwing them on top of my jeans. Then she dug her phone out of her back pocket. I completely lost track of what Casey was doing when her mother, my former teacher, lined my stiffy up with her magnificent fuckhole, and slid so slowly down onto me. I looked into the eyes of the legendary Mrs. Williams as her quim swallowed my manhood. Her weight settled onto my groin and I felt my balls brush against her ass. I was literally balls deep inside of this woman. The vagina gently gripping my cock, flexing up and down the entire length of my penis, was unlike any I had experienced before. The pussy I'd had before was scared and hesitant. This pussy was confident and powerful. The other pussies had been cautious and uncertain. This pussy knew what it wanted, and it knew how to get it.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes, dear boy.
I love you.
That's the cock talking. She chuckled. But I'm okay with that.
This old pussy has a reply for you.
I swear she never moved her body, didn't anyway, but it felt like 4 different people had grabbed my cock with their fingertips, and they were all massaging it at the same time, and somebody was teasing the bulbous head. My eyes had to have been as big as saucers. Mrs. Williams leaned forward, held my face in her hands, and kissed me like it was our wedding day. She started slowly fucking, 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 fucking. I couldn't breathe. Her lips were still locked onto mine. Her pussy was dragging, grinding, gliding, sliding, pumping, pulsing, pulling, sucking, slurping.
Oh shit. Mrs. Williams!
My words were strained. There wasn't really enough air in my lungs to get them out to warn her. Her mouth was still locked to mine. The words were trapped inside between us. Her lips released mine, moved to my left ear, and she growled.
Do
it. My balls erupted like a water balloon left too long on the garden hose. I swear I whimpered as I felt my seed explode from my testes, race through my cock and jet into her perfect pussy. She was holding me tightly, my dick buried as deeply as it would reach inside of her incredible tension. The tip of my penis tingled as it just, barely, brushed up against the entrance to her womb. I don't think I've ever come so hard in my life. She waited until I was done, and then went back to riding me. She wasn't as gentle this time, a little more needy, but it was still lovemaking, rather than fucking. This was not going to be a one-night stand, I could already tell. Her eyes, her body, her moans, she intended for this to be a regular occurrence. My poor penis had just started to soften inside of her when she seemed to be getting close to coming. Her excitement rubbed off on me and my dick started hardening again. Her lovemaking was turning into fucking. Her groaning had turned to growling and I was suddenly ready to answer the call. I wrapped my arms around her thin waist, spun us sideways and then continued rolling until her body was lying where mine had just been, and then I started pumping my cock in and out of her creamy cunt.
Fuck yes!
She moaned. Breed me. There is no way I should have been ready to go again that fast except that my hot-ass MILF teacher was moaning and calling my name and begging me to knock her up. I didn't know if she was on the pill or not, but I wasn't about to stop to ask. I'd already dumped one load of my seed inside of her, and I intended to do everything in my power to impregnate this woman. She'd been asking, begging for it, and I was damn well going to do my best to make it happen. I kissed her face, nibbling her lower lip. I gnawed on those beautiful breasts, licking around her big stiff nipples and sucking them into my mouth like a hungry infant. I bit her jawline, I nibbled her ear, and went back to kissing those beautiful lips again as I fucked her pussy. She lay there the whole time watching my eyes. Her fingertips were digging into my ass cheeks, pulling me closer. She wasn't letting me go until one of us climaxed. I wasn't sure if it would be her or me. At that point, it was a race. I was close, so close again. She was moaning, humming. I thrusted and drove and pounded, and finally the detonator went off. I drove my cock in deep, reaching for her womb, and growled.
Fuck.
As she felt my second batch of baby batter blast inside of her, she pulled my face down to hers, kissed me passionately once more, and I felt the entire length of her vagina clamp down tightly. Her eyes rolled back in her head as she hissed.
Yes.
Long seconds passed before her body relaxed slightly. Her arms wrapped around my shoulders and she pulled me to her generous chest. She held me there and whispered.
Thank you.
You don't know how badly I've needed that. I wrapped my arms around her, gave her a squeeze, licked her left nipple, and looked into those beautiful brown eyes.
I really enjoyed our first date, I said, grinning. I hope you won't think I'm being too forward, but I'd really like to ask you out again sometime. Could I steal a kiss before I have to say goodnight?
She looked at my face and laughed so hard I thought her pussy would spit out my softening dick. She glanced over at Casey, who, I discovered, was still recording.
So?
She asked her daughter.
So what? Is he a keeper?
Mom. I hardly think one good fuck is enough to make this kind of decision.
Decision?
I asked. Casey looked at me.
Give us a minute.
Her eyes were serious, so I just nodded with my cheeks still resting between her mom's D-cup mammaries.
Fine.
Mrs. Williams told her.
You order while we're getting cleaned up and we'll talk about it. Delivery or drive-through? Drive-through or eating your pick. It's always better fresh.
Fine.
We got an early start anyway. Reggie and I will go shower. Get us a table for 3-4-30 minutes from now.
My former teacher looked into my eyes and then looked back at her daughter.
Make that 45 minutes.
30. Casey said.
I'm hungry and you already got off, at least once you can wait a little.
Fine, but I have a lot of catching up to do.
You know, it didn't have to be this way.
Casey taunted, grinning.
You could have just given into.
Say it. Her mom challenged vehemently.
Ugh.
I can't. Casey said, making a horrible face.
What a fucking creep. You know all those flowers were from him, right? Can we not talk about Mr. Never Happening?
My former teacher asked.
I have a whole pussy full of the most beautiful spunk and you're doing this?
Sorry. Casey said, her look reflecting her words.
You looked beautiful, Mama.
Thanks, baby.
It was really good.
I kinda noticed. She said, grinning.
Let me shower real quick and we can talk on the way to dinner.
After. Casey demanded.
Fine.
Her mother sighed. Mrs. Williams and I lathered each other, but other than that I enjoyed the chastest shower I've ever had with a person of the opposite sex. We were done in 15 minutes, dressed in 5 more, and headed out of the drive in my car since it had been blocking theirs. Mrs. Williams rode next to me with her hand on my lap while Casey sat on the other side of her mother. My car was old enough to have a bench seat in the front instead of bucket seats. Whoever had decided that society needed a console between the driver and the passenger had obviously never had a hot female sitting snuggled up against their side while driving down the road. One of my teacher's feet, and lovely long legs, was on my side of the hump in the floorboard, but I was okay with that, very okay with that. Mrs. Williams spent most of the trip to the Chinese place stroking the inside of my pant leg. Casey looked over now and then, shaking her head a little, but stayed quiet. We ordered, chatted, stuffed ourselves, and then grabbed the fortune cookies. As we read our fortunes to each other, we added the obligatory in bed to the end. Mine was,
you will make someone's day.
In bed. We laughed. Mrs. Williams was, Be ready for a new experience. In bed. She cooed. Casey's was. The past cannot harm you. In bed. She looked pensive but nodded. Mrs. Williams stayed quiet but squeezed Casey's hand. Under the table, her other hand squeezed my dick. I stuffed the last crab rangoon in my mouth as we stood to leave. Mrs. Williams leaned in and tried to nibble my lips like she wanted to share it. Casey just shook her head but took her mom's hand in hers as we headed to the door. Since I was holding her other one, I'm sure the two of us looked odd, escorting her mother to the car. I opened the passenger door and Mrs. Williams shoved Casey in first. I let them both climb in, and then closed the door. When I slid behind the wheel, I leaned into Casey a little, to put on my seatbelt. I looked into her eyes and said, "Hi." She bit her lip again. I couldn't stand it anymore. "I don't mean to scare you, but every time you do that, I have this overwhelming urge to kiss you right in the spot where you're nibbling." She stopped, looked me dead in the eye, and did it again. I placed my thumb and the forefinger of my right hand under her chin, holding her gently, leaned into her, and said, "You are so beautiful it hurts." I kissed her softly, just a little peck at the point where her top teeth were biting on her lower lip. I looked up into her eyes and felt like my soul was sucked into the void. I cleared my throat, turned back to face the front, and started the car. As I pulled out of the parking lot and headed for their house, Casey laid her left arm across the seat, behind me, and lay her head on my right shoulder. I looked over to see that her mother was holding her right hand. None of us said a word all the way back to the house. We walked into the living room, but I wasn't sure what was next, so I slowed down to follow their lead. Casey returned to her seat at the little four-person dinette. Her mother and I sat on the couch holding hands, sitting in the same spot where we'd fucked just an hour or so before. "Casey?" Her mom started. "Wait," she replied solemnly, holding up a finger. Mrs. Williams nodded. Casey looked from her mother over to me. "The rules. Over the last year or so, Mom and I have talked about our options. This experiment is the culmination of numerous brainstorming sessions. Neither of us is certain that this will end up being the ultimate solution, but it's the closest we can work out at this time. Part of the impetus for this approach was when Mom and I were watching the Sister Wives TV series. I argued that the entire idea was ludicrous. Mom countered that if two or more females could come up with the correct set of ground rules, they could make the relationship work. So here we are." "Where is here?" I asked. "I need to start with a little history lesson first," she stated. "Okay," I agreed. "Both of my parents were experienced lovers by the time they graduated high school. In college, they were even more casual with their relationships. However, the day the two of them met, that all changed. Dad told me that he saw Mom walk in the front door of his frat house for their regular weekend drinking party, and he couldn't stop staring at her. Within minutes, he had forced his way through the crowd, introduced himself, and pledged his undying love. Mom was intrigued but didn't know him, so promised him nothing except to agree to start dating. From that night forward, all other love interests were pushed to the side. For Mom, it was the logical thing to do to give the experiment a true clean room environment. For Dad, it was his only chance to prove that his love was true. Like any normal person would, Mom started falling in love with this strange man who told her she was the center of the universe and treated her like a goddess. They were married 6 months later. Neither set of parents approved, thinking the relationship was doomed to fail. The ceremony was performed at the hall where the college's Christian Fellowship of Athletes held their meetings by the resident minister. A handful of friends were the only witnesses. Over time, Mom's parents realized that the relationship was real and gave Mom and Dad their blessing. Grandma Williams was, as is her nature, resolute. Grandpa, as you have probably already realized, has no self-will. Grandma has never believed that Mom was good enough for her son. To this day, she persists in treating my mother like she's some kind of cheap whore. I glanced over at Mrs. Williams, who had turned many a clueless student into a success by teaching them the value of learning for themselves. My parents finished their degrees. Mom completed her certifications and both of them started applying for jobs. As most new graduates and newlywed couples do, they struggled. Each time there was a need, Grandma Williams made sure she was there with cash in hand but always with strings attached. When Mom got pregnant with me, things, of course, got tighter and Grandma collected more IOUs. I shook my head. 16 years later, when my dad passed away, Grandma Williams was more concerned about making sure her foot was squarely placed on my mother's neck than she was about grieving for her son. Dad's will states that his estate will only continue to pay his portion of the bills as long as Grandma Williams signs off on it. Grandma has already promised that the moment she finds out Mom is dating Dad's, money is gone. That's... I began. "Oh, it gets worse," she declared. I just waited. Grandma's tentacles don't just wrap around Mom, they bind me as well. Mom and Dad had set up a savings plan to pay for my college, but that money is under Grandma's control as well. I was only allowed to apply to the colleges and universities that Grandma approved. I had to pick the cheapest one, regardless of any other criteria. For the first 2 years, I will be attending the community college here in town and living at home so that I'm not taking any more of Grandma's money than necessary. After that, I will attend Eastern State just down the road and continue to live in this house. I nodded. I really want to keep cheering in college. I can't do my classes and cheer and hold a job that would pay for everything I need. Mom's job pays enough for her to get by, but not well enough to do that and cover college. Even if you can't see the bars on the windows or the locks on the doors, we live in Grandma's prison and will continue to do so for the next 4 years. Once I have my degree, we're cut off. Grandma tells me that I have 5 years, tops, to graduate. Wow. I said, shaking my head again. She nodded. So Sister Wives the solution, Mom, and I came up with was to find an acceptable guy and share him. We needed a male appropriately aged to pretend to be my suitor, so I created a spreadsheet, added the names of every person who I considered to be a realistic possibility. We created a rubric and scored each of the potential candidates. You scored the highest, so here you are. A spreadsheet? I asked, incredulously. She nodded, her expression as serious as a heart attack. Assuming you are willing, you and I will date for the next 4 years. Grandma's spies will report that you visit me often. Obviously, you will only visit when I am here. I nodded. Again, assuming this works for you, Mom will use you to take care of her sexual needs. So far, so good. I chuckled, glancing at my former teacher and back again. Casey gave a nervous laugh. At this time, I am still a virgin. Mom has, repeatedly, told me that she thinks I'm a little too old-fashioned in my approach to relationships. Call it what you will, I want what Mom and Dad had and I want it on my own terms. Grandma seems to control everything else in our lives. This is one thing I control. Part of the criteria I included in the spreadsheet was my calculation for the possibility of finding someone that I believed I could spend the rest of my life with. Again, here you are. She appeared to have a little more to say, so I just waited. I will not have sex with you or any other man until our wedding night. You are free to fuck my mother with no guilt from me for the next 4 years. I am interested in seeing if we're right for each other, but that is up to you as well. Any questions? You picked me? The data did. And you're okay with that? You're here, aren't you? She asked, the right edge of her lip curling up a little. I nodded, finding all of this a little difficult to process. The video. As you have just learned, my mother has had to live under the constant malignant scrutiny of my paternal grandmother for nearly half of her life. When she and I started talking over the details of this arrangement, I saw my mother's eyes light up with the first glimmer of hope since my dad passed away. My father would have never forced my mother to give up sex. They committed their lives and love to each other, and kept their wedding vows throughout their time together. My mother deserves to be free to love and be loved again and to fuck if and when she feels like it. She's been looking forward to her time with you since before you even agreed to participate in this experiment. That video is for her so she can remember what freedom looks like. I reached over and squeezed Mrs. Williams' fingers. I gotta say, this is the weirdest conversation I thought I'd never have. I said. I am concerned that it looks like you're trapped into having a relationship with me just so that your mother can taste the freedoms that every other person already enjoys. Your analytical mind is part of what bumped your score above the others that, and the fact that you never fucked around in school. I had 3 different girlfriends. Who left you, regretted their decisions almost immediately, and tried to come back to you. Jeez. How much data do you have? My mom teaches scientific method. Gotcha. And you never not once made a statement to anybody else about what happened in those relationships, even when they were throwing around all sorts of crap about you. I knew which girl she was referring to. She was a slut. I never even fucked her. I think that was what made her the angriest. She was in such a hurry to have sex that I started seeing red flags, so I just threw the brakes on the relationship. You were together less than a week. Yup. She spewed venom about you across the next 3 boyfriends. I'm not even sure she remembers dating them. Nick from my Pascal class was one of those 3. She had him drive her to the city park. He said she held her hands over his face, so she wouldn't have to look at him, fucked him until she got off, and flagged down a passing car to hitchhike home. He was still pulling his pants up, climbing out of the back seat of the car, trying to figure out what happened when she disappeared. He said she was fucking him so hard that he couldn't even get turned on, and 2 minutes later, she was gone. You cared about him? He was always straight with me. He didn't deserve that, but nobody else had ever paid him any attention, so he jumped when she offered. I should probably get him a hooker when he turns 18 so he can at least have one positive sexual experience. He's not 18? I thought he was in our class. He's just got a summer birthday. She gnawed on that lip again. I got up from the couch, squatted down in front of her, and kissed that same spot. So, you seeing anyone? I asked her. She giggled. I held out my right hand and she placed hers in it. I brought it to my lips, kissed the back of it, looked into her eyes and said, You are the most beautiful woman I have ever known. You are smart, you are sexy, you are talented, you are strong, and I would like the chance to get to know you better. She took my hands in hers and said, I would like that. Speaking of fucking, Mrs. Williams called out. I glanced, behind me, at my former teacher and back to the young woman holding my hands. She's insatiable. Casey said, rolling her eyes. Gotta keep my possible future mother-in-law happy though, am I right? I said, with an evil grin. Her face got a little clouded but she nodded. Hey. I said, pulling her chin up so I could see her eyes. I'm serious about getting to know you. Your mom is a terrific fuck and a total hottie, but if I'm understanding what you're saying, this only works if you and I mesh, right? Casey nodded. Which is why she's anxious to fuck you again, because she's worried about how long it'll be before I find Mr. Right, and regardless of how she's acting like a total slut right now, she's terrified that Grandma will see through this whole sham and fuck us all. Grandma has spies? I asked. She's suborned at least one neighbor, and we believe she hired a private investigator. I don't know if you've looked around, but all of the curtains and blinds are closed. Nobody will ever know what happened in here but the 3 of us, and regardless of how you and I end up, Mom needed this. I did look around and then back into those gorgeous eyes, those deadly serious eyes. Listen, I said. I need to take care of an elderly friend of mine, but maybe I could stop and see you later, and we could just talk? I leaned in and kissed her bottom lip again. As I leaned back again, Casey nodded at me, smiling a little.
Elderly?
Casey grinned and we looked over at her mother as she was getting up off of the couch.
Come with me, child, and I'll show you what this old hag is capable of. Let's go violate my marriage bed. Don't forget to shut down the laptop first.
Casey called to her mother as I stood.
In case Grandma has figured out how to hijack it.
I had started to follow Mrs. Williams but turned back to look at Casey, who was nodding as she shooed me off to follow her mother.
When she's done with you, I'll be down here reading. Come visit for a while.
As you wish, I said.
She smirked. Be careful, Dread Pirate Roberts. She killed my father. Prepare to die.
My head spun back to her to see if she was being serious, but her mother grabbed my hand and pulled me up the stairs. Casey sat there, cackling with laughter, at the scared look on my face.
Round 2.
Mrs. Williams and I entered the dark room lit only by the nightlight in the bathroom. My lover closed the screen on the laptop computer, left a trail of clothing on her way to the bed, pulled back the covers and laid down with arms open for me. I discarded my clothing and joined her. She threw the covers over us and wrapped me in her arms. It is not my intention to coach you because Casey will know I've interfered with her experiment, but your answers, so far, have been spot on. Just keep being yourself. And with you? Keep fucking the shit out of me and making me the happiest woman on the planet. You are gorgeous. And you have the tongue of a devil who smells of sex. I could be happy just being with you. I told her. Even if we never have sex again. You are such a suck-ass. We'll see how you talk after you're done sucking my ass.
I raised my eyebrows at her. She pulled me closer and gave me another scorching kiss.
You miss him. I do, but only some of that kiss is for him. Most of it is for the little devil who filled me with sperm twice already today, and who will hopefully do it again a couple more times before I send him home. Must I leave?
Ha!
Silvertum.
Yes.
As you said, you and Casey need to date and decide, but...
But?
But when you bring her home from the date, I need to make sure you haven't cheated on me so I get to check the goods.
Ah.
Now climb up here and give me the goods. Missionary? Let's start with 69. I want to see how good you really are with that tongue of yours, you little devil.
In the end, there were a few tricks that I needed to learn. Mrs. Williams was a patient teacher, and when I responded well to instruction, she was a faithful rewarder of diligence. Her final reward once I had elicited an orgasm from her was to deep-throat my cock, which resulted in me delivering rope after rope of spunk directly into her stomach. I seriously don't know how she shuts off her gag reflex, but that was like something I'd only ever seen in porn videos. When she kissed me on the mouth afterwards, I couldn't even taste my junk on her tongue. It had never even been in her mouth. We talked and shared stories while she stroked me back to hardness again. In the soft glow of the bathroom nightlight, I watched as my former science teacher's sexy body hung suspended above my own as she slotted the head of my dick at the entrance to her sacred place.
Your husband was a lucky man and smart, apparently. I told her. Thank you for giving me the chance to show you that I'm worth the risk and for sharing your gorgeous and talented body with me. Who says I'm not just using you as a living dildo?
She looked into my eyes as we became one. Those intelligent eyes seemed to be searching inside me. I thought they might have missed it over a bit before she laid her head on my shoulder and started slowly riding my cock.
I am obviously fine with that. I said. Having heard at least some of your story, I don't believe this is quite as casual as you're intimating. I want you to know that I'm humbled by the trust you've placed in me and I'm committed to helping you through this tight place and building a relationship with both you and your daughter.
Tight place, huh? She snickered. She raised her head up to look at my face again.
The tightest. Not old and tired? Snug and cozy, challenging and invigorating. Naughty or nice?
She asked, grinning wickedly.
Naughty in the nicest way.
I leaned up, begging for a kiss, which she granted.
I wish I could Snapchat you riding my cock. Every man I know would be jealous. But you won't?
Casey's right.
I don't kiss and tell. I don't like it done to me. I refuse to do it to others.
She smiled and gave me a kiss that was definitely worth keeping to myself.
Besides, I said, I don't want anybody else to know you're available. Maybe I'm just selfish. Honestly, it amazes me that other people talk about their relationships so carelessly. Maybe they do care, but their actions don't reflect it. You're a little more clinical about it, I think. That's probably why you scored so high.
I grabbed her hips, beginning to take an active role in the lovemaking.
I definitely scored, I said, grinning.
She snickered and then closed her eyes as I groped her soft hips and ass, speeding up my thrusting, meeting her body halfway as she slid my fuck rod in and out of her gripping channel again and again. I took her face in my hands and leaned up for another kiss. Her lips were as beautiful as the rest of her. Her eyes were still closed, lost in the lovemaking, so I did my best to make love to every part of her body that I could reach. I brushed the backs of my fingernails across her collarbone, and she shivered and growled.
That tickles. Don't do that.
She lost her stride for a moment, but quickly went back to rhythmically riding me. She had complained, but it seemed like her nipples had stiffened even more with the teasing. I ran the palm of my hands around the outside of those glorious breasts so full of life. They swung forward and backward again and again as our bodies met and retreated. It was hypnotizing. I cupped one luscious globe and then the other, bringing the stiff nipples to my lips. I struggled to keep them there as she continued riding my cock, and I repeatedly pistoned my hips up to greet her, but I was eager to taste her mommy bits. Her nipples were nearly the size of my thumb, centered in dark, silver dollar-sized areolas.
I nibbled my way around each areola, corralling each nipple, hurting it, trapping it before pulling the stiff bud into my mouth with my lip and tongue. She moaned as I latched onto each one, drawing it and sucking hard to see if I could get anything to come out. I gave it a quick tug with my upper teeth and my tongue before switching to the other breast to give the twin the same attention. I moved my hands to her ribcage. She flinched, a little worried that I was going to tickle her, I think. I gripped and grabbed, massaged and groped, moving my hands slowly back towards her hips, her ass, her upper thighs, and her ass again. I was primed, ready to blow. She had shuddered through one decent orgasm as I groped her ass and seemed to be getting close to a second. I held tightly onto her splendid posterior, increasing the impact at the end of each stroke.
Yes. 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 She chanted, with each forceful collision.
You are so fucking beautiful. I told her. I want to knock you up so bad.
Badly.
She attempted to correct me.
Very bad.
I taunted, grinning.
Yes, you are.
She groaned and then ordered.
Do it.
Coming. I moaned, as my testes fired for the 100th time that day. She stopped riding me and settled her pussy fully onto my engorged seat spitter, giving me the best possibility of breeding her. I gripped her ass tightly in my hands, pinning her on top of me, and mentally commanded my spermatozoa to find that egg. When my mommy maker had finished firing, I released her ass, moved my arms up around her shoulders, and pulled her into a hug. She tucked her hands in, behind mine, and relaxed, snuggling into my embrace.
Mrs. Williams?
I asked.
Mm-hmm.
She mumbled. I'm not sure I'm ready for the final exam. Do you think you could give me a few more practice exercises? I asked the top of her head.
I'll see what I can come up with,
she said, grinning into my chest. She had, practically, ordered me to breed her, but I had to ask.
Are you on the Casey's father and I never used protection. She was the only product of years of fucking. We never got tested. I don't know if it was him or me. If you knock me up, I will be happy. I will be poor and homeless, but I will be unrepentantly happy. Do your best to fuck a baby into me. I am freer than I've been in years, and even my bitter-ass mother-in-law can't rob me of the joy I would have, knowing your child was growing inside of me. You deserve to be happy, and I will do everything I can to be part of that smile that makes you even more beautiful than you already are. You are such a suck-ass, but you fuck good, so I think I'll keep you around. Speaking of which, you should probably go spend some time seeing if you can convince my daughter to be your girlfriend.
Yes, mother.
Mrs. Williams. At least until you and Casey are married, then we'll see.
Yes, Moth.
Yes, Mrs. Williams.
Devil spawn.
Wa.
I said dramatically.
You had Spanish, not French, don't try that shit on me, go play nice with Casey.
Yes, ma'am.
When she's done with you, come keep me warm for the rest of the night.
Yes, dear.
She cleared her throat.
Yes, Mrs. Williams.
That's better, Reggie.
Now be a good boy and be a good boy.
I gave her a quick kiss which lit up her face again, and then extricated myself from my lover's bed. I got dressed, thinking about the craziness of the last week, culminating with the crazier revelations and crazy amazing sex. Back downstairs again, Casey and I chatted as if we were between classes sitting in the school library, and not as if I just sucked and fucked her mother at the other end of the house.
Pick me up at 5 next Friday. Surprise me about dinner and something fun to do, then we'll come back here so mother can make sure that I haven't soiled myself by giving you my virginity.
I nodded.
Unless you have other plans, she'll probably keep you here for a nightcap and release you after breakfast in the morning.
Okay.
We'll play this, week by week, and see how it goes.
Okay.
I will tell you that I am totally committed to finding the right guy before I take this relationship farther, but that once we've crossed that threshold, we'll be moving into territory that none of us have experienced before, although you are getting a little taste of it now. Let's worry about us first. That's easy for you to say, you've come 3 or 4 times today. I've been waiting for 18 years. If your mother was that crazy after 2 years, I'm not sure I want to be around to see what you do after 18.
Really?
She accused.
I'm lying. I totally want to watch.
Watch?
She growled.
Scratch and sniff?
I said, grinning.
Ew. Suck and fuck?
You're getting warmer.
She said, still not letting the smile she was hiding take over her face.
I told you before and I wasn't lying, I think you are super special and I'm just happy to be bachelor number one. I'm just praying I don't fuck this up. You are such a fucking dweeb. Go keep my mother warm and I'll see you at breakfast.
Case?
Yeah?
If your mother gets pregnant.
She stopped what she was doing and looked at me.
If it happens, it happens.
Would you be?
Mom would be delirious. How could I not be happy for her? How would it make you feel about us?
She was pensive for a little while.
This is really a question for when we get to the next phase, but let's just say that I think I'd be okay with it. I can use protection if...
No.
I looked into those eyes as bright blue as the Caribbean Ocean.
I will do whatever you want me to.
I told her seriously.
I want my mother to be happy.
She is happy.
I want her to continue to be happy. You realize you're fucking me into a corner here, right?
I'll stop.
I said, checking her eyes again for a sign.
No.
You will not.
She ordered. I stayed quiet but focused on her words spoken and unspoken.
We will get to know each other and see what there is between us. Meanwhile, you will do your best to knock my mother up. This is the weirdest fucking conversation I've ever heard of. You haven't met Grandma Williams.
Hmm.
There's an interesting idea.
I shuddered at the look on her face. She nodded.
Be afraid, Will Robinson. Be very afraid. Now go snuggle with my mother. As you wish.
She laughed and shooed me off to her mother's bed and arms. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
Chapter 02.
Breakfast. I woke up in a cozy bed in a room filled with daylight, obviously not my game cave. I was not alone. I opened my eyes to see Mrs. Williams looking at my face, smiling. You hungry, handsome? That's not the question I was hoping for. I teased, crooking an eyebrow at her. But yes. She started laughing and threw the covers back to roll out of her fluffy, pillow-top bed. I watched my sexy lover as she struggled to capture those massive memories and corral them into the sports bra she'd grabbed. She noticed me noticing. When she bent over to pull on the matching panties, she turned away from me, bent forward farther than was required, stepped into the leg holes revealing a glorious gap for me to admire, and then, slow as molasses, she slid the tight garment up her long, luxurious legs, shimmying her hips to tug them into place, finally hiding her cute cooch within. She turned, looked me in the eyes, and bit her lower lip. Now I knew where Casey got that shit from. When I wake up from this dream, I'm going to be so, fucking, disappointed. I said. I hope, at least, that I'm covered head to toe in jizz. My former science teacher, the goddess of Belmont High School, started snort laughing. I was trying to focus on her bouncing breasts, but the snorting got me and I started laughing as well. She put on a fluffy robe, walked around to my side of the bed, and threw the covers off of me, looking down at my naked body and mourning what that had just been bolstered by her little show. She held out her hand. Come, dear boy. I took it, replying. Yes, beloved. Downstairs, Casey was sitting at the dining room table with her tablet and an empty cereal bowl. Mrs. Williams brought the jug of milk and a couple boxes of cereal from the kitchen. I went in search of the bowls and spoons with a little guidance from Casey. As we finished our brief meal, I looked across the table, at my curvaceous lover, and raised a lusty eyebrow, checking to see if she was ready for round three. I think I need to stop before I overdo it anymore. My pussy's a little sore thanks to you. Casey looked up from her device. Serves you right, acting the slut all night long. Her mom looked over at her and then her mind, obviously, went sideways. Sorry, mom. Casey apologized, watching her face. I sound like grandma. First of all, no, you don't. Second of all, you're not wrong and I enjoyed every minute of it. She said, briefly looking over at me to deliver that message. I got a little carried away trying to catch up. You just caught me off guard and I wonder what your father would say. Daddy would say that you've been punished enough. Where's my goddess? I must supplicate. Mrs. Williams started laughing. You almost sounded like him. Her face grew a little sad. God, I miss him. Did you feel worship last night? Casey inquired. With your twat full of Reggie's offering? I did. Her mother admitted, replaying something in her head and smiling. I guarantee you if Daddy was watching from heaven last night, he was happy for you. Thank you, baby. Have I told you that you're my favorite daughter? Once or twice, but I won't stop you, if you want to tell me again. Mrs. Williams got up, walked around the table, and wrapped Casey in a hug. I'm not pushing you to escalate your timetable or shortcut your analysis, but I'm seriously going to do my best to fuck your boyfriend to death before you decide you're ready for that cock of his. TMI, mom. Your father was definitely more experienced, but... Mother. She growled. Laughing, her mother said. You know you're beautiful when your freckles all turn pink, right? Shaking her head in frustration, Casey said. If you're finished embarrassing me, I think I'll walk my boyfriend to his car. Mrs. Williams stepped over to me, pulled my face up for a soft, sensuous kiss, and then wrapped me in a hug, squeezing my body in between my favorite twins. She pulled back to look in my eyes and said, Thank you for everything, agreeing to this crazy idea, the sex, the laughs, the sex. Mother. Casey warned. The hot cheerleader in a rose-colored, silk pajama shirt and shorts set that hid way too much stood and extended her hand for me to take. I joined her and took the proffered hand, interlacing my fingers into hers. On the way outside, she suggested we chat in the car, so I let her in the passenger side and went around, climbing in to join her. Are you busy Friday night? I asked mischievously. She nibbled that lower lip again, so of course I kissed it. If you're like the other guys I dated, she began, you will quickly become tired of my frigidity. Frigid? Because you're not ready to fuck? You've already got me, sitting here, salivating, waiting for your little lip nibble Pavlov's bell. Just so I have an excuse to kiss you. Her soft giggle was intoxicating. And I hate to mention my other lovers, but I'm pretty sure any blue balls you manage to give me will be graciously evacuated by your nymphomaniac mother. She laughed this time. She might actually only fuck you twice next week. I was really surprised when she didn't want to go another round this morning. She and Daddy weren't very quiet with their lovemaking and the sound carries in that house late at night. I nodded. Would you think I was weird if I admitted to rubbing myself, listening to them? Well, I kind of wondered how you were. Taking care of business. That makes more sense, kind of. You don't think it's weird? Most guys I know are turned on by every one of their five senses and jerk off more than once a day. I don't know that many girls, but you don't seem abnormal to me. I really like you. I hope this works out. I've already told you I think every part of you is hot, including your oversized cranium, but I can repeat it if you need to hear it again. She nibbled that lip once more. Seriously? You keep this shit up and you'll be riding my cock within days. I teased, as I sat back up from delivering her requested kiss. I will, huh? Yup. Pretty cocky. Very cocky. Very cocky up your coochie. She laughed. You're horrible. You're beautiful. Can I kiss you? She nibbled the lip again. I turned sideways in my seat, took her face in my palms, and looked into those crystal blue eyes. You give my brain a hard-on. She started laughing. That's the dumbest. I silenced her with a kiss. I simply pressed my lips to hers and waited for her to quit trying to talk past the contact. When she relaxed, I kissed her, trying to pour all of my feelings into it. No tongue. No games. No dramatics. Just I love you as a kiss. I finally ended it but still held her face, watching to see if she approved. That was nice. She admitted. I guarantee it'll be at least a month before you see my pussy and you're still a dork, but that was nice. I'm a very patient man. Methodical even. Man? I'll let you decide when you're ready. She giggled. I released her face. You definitely like to play with my head, don't you? She grinned. I opened my mouth to spin her words back as a double entendre. Don't even. She laughed, throwing the palm of her hand onto my face and mouth to stop what she knew was coming. I just laughed into her hand. When she dropped it but took my hand in hers, I asked. So, can I see you Friday night? Is four too early? She asked, grinning. I'll make it work. I replied. Okay. Pick me up at four. Take me to do something fun, then we'll go to dinner, then we'll come home and Netflix and chill. She said, smirking. Food? Surprise me. No help. Fine. You want a surprise? Nothing living. She countered. Damn. Foiled again. I said, dramatically. She didn't take the bait but smirked. If you leave the parameters wide open, it's hard to say what you might get. I offered. I'll chance it. She said, grinning. I held my thumb and forefinger to my chin and crinkled an eyebrow, as if I were plotting. She ignored my play acting. Something fun? Any specifics or constraints for that part of the evening? I asked. Not really. Putt-putt? Less competitive, more mentally stimulating. Okay. I'll have to work on that. Do I get bonus points for creativity? She laughed but gave me a quick peck on the lips before releasing my hand, scooting to the door. See you Friday at four. She said, climbing out. As she headed into the garage, she turned to look at me. I blew her a kiss. She returned one of her own. I pinched my arm just to check and then started the car, backed out, waved at the neighbor working on her flowers, and headed home. The Inquisition. Sunday night, I got a text from a former classmate. You seeing anyone? I responded with. Yes. Who? I texted Casey. She informed me that she'd already gotten tagged by a different classmate who had asked her if she was going to be busy Friday night. Based on who the two people were, she quickly figured out that it was Grandma Williams and her card-playing cronies, collaborating to nose around for information. We each blocked the people who had texted us. Wednesday night, I got to work and my boss laughed when he saw me. You're going to have a special delivery tonight. Why's that? I asked. Some old lady called for you on Monday night. We're not open on Mondays. I laughed. She didn't realize she was on voicemail and was trying to get us to send you to her house with a pizza. What address? I asked. Mac grabbed a piece of paper and rattled it off. She called back, again, last night, and I told her you didn't come in until tonight. Who is it? I just finished Googling the address. My girlfriend's grandmother. Dude! You're fucked. Anybody trying that hard to track your ass down? Do I make the delivery or go home sick? He thought for a minute. I realized calling off would just be a stall tactic and wouldn't work. You still have those smart glasses, those GoPro goggle things you were trying out? Yeah. At home. Run and grab them. I'll ride shotgun when you take the pizza. Hit record when you get out of the car and chat the old bag up and see what she spills. Give me a hand signal if I need to rescue you. I looked at his face and he was dead serious, so I headed back out to my car, ran home, grabbed the glasses from my shelf, and cruised back to Pop's still on time for my shift. 2 hours later, I was hurrying back from a delivery run when he met me at the door, grinning, with a pizza in his hands. It's time. My hands were sweating as I drove to the address. I wiped them on my pants. Dude, how bad is this bitch? Casey says she's Hitler. Just play it cool. I want to see this video. We pulled in front of the house. I hopped out, walked around the car hitting record on the glasses and took the pizza from Mac. I knocked on the door. I could hear footsteps not shuffling, so she wasn't that old. The door opened. Pop's pizza delivery. I said, falling into my usual speech. Are you Reginald Mitchell? I gave her a dramatic pause. Yes? Are you dating my granddaughter, Casey Williams? I don't kiss and tell, ma'am. I said, giving away nothing. Yes or no? If you want to know who your granddaughter is dating, you might want to pick somebody closer to the source, ma'am. I didn't ask for smart mouth. I'm delivering a pizza, ma'am. That'll be $22.50, please. I don't want the pizza. It's not what I ordered. I'm canceling the order. I turned back to the car. Call the cops. We got a stiffy. Max stuck his thumb in the air and got on his phone. What? What are you doing? Standard procedure, ma'am. Happens a lot. The cops even gave us a special number to call. That's my boss in the car. His name is Mac. He's the one you talked to 3 different times to see when I was working so you could bring me over here to interrogate me, and now you've got the balls to try to skip out on paying for the pizza. You may want to go ahead and find your driver's license. The cops normally ask for that while we go through the whole routine. It usually takes a couple hours, but I find it somewhat fulfilling. It pisses Mac off, though, so I hope you never want to order from us again, which kind of sucks because we have the best pizza in town. You don't need to involve the police.
I'll get my wallet. I was just messing with you.
Right. You may want to do that cause like you ordered a pizza but you aren't holding any money, which kind of tells me you were planning this the whole time.
Wait right here.
She moved pretty quickly for a heartless hag. I didn't bother to signal Mac. He hadn't called anybody. Although I knew without looking that he still had the phone to his ear and was nodding and moving his lips.
How much was it?
She asked, digging through her bills.
$22.50.
She handed me a 20 and a 5. I stared at her. I knew for certain that the words,
"Keep the change,"
had never come out of this bitch's mouth.
"We don't carry change. They tell you that when you order."
She held out her hand. I returned the bills. It took her another 5 minutes of digging, but she came up with the exact amount. While she was fucking around, I did think about asking for a tip just to poke the bear. I handed over the pie and turned to leave.
"I'll give you $100 to break up with my granddaughter,"
she offered. I turned back to face her.
"First of all, you're a bitch for even suggesting that I could be bought off. Secondly, you're a cheap bitch for thinking $100 is worth more than your granddaughter. And lastly, your granddaughter is hotter than 99% of the women on the entire planet, smarter than most male or female, and one of the nicest people I've ever met. But I get the feeling you're not trying to save her from horny young men, you're just a stingy, controlling hag who probably abuses their husband mentally and emotionally, if not physically, on a regular basis. You really need to find professional help."
"Well,
I never."
"Obviously, you did at least once, cause that's how Casey's dad was born, am I right? Was he like a horrible person or something? Is that why you hate everybody?"
"Casey says he was awesome, though, so maybe his entire DNA came from her grandpa,"
she goldfished. She was standing in the doorway, holding the pizza box, with her mouth opening and closing like an oxygen-starved guppy gasping for breath. I made sure I was facing her straight on so the glasses were getting her reaction full frame. The devil whispered in my ear and I grinned, yelling loudly through the open doorway.
"Mr. Williams! If you need help, just call Pop's Pizza and order the triple olive special. We'll send the police."
I turned and headed for the car. Once I was belted in, I hit the button on the glasses to send the video to my phone and dropped the car into gear. Grandma Williams was still standing there, with the door hanging open. I was pretty sure that if the bitch had had pyrokinesis, my car would have exploded. Mac was holding my phone.
"I had a pretty good angle and don't really need to see the video, but your girlfriend is going to shit herself.
What a bitch.
I'll bet the old bag regifts her used underwear for Christmas presents."
That was a pretty good one even for Mac. I was laughing so hard I had tears in my eyes. I could still barely see by the time we got back to the shop. For the next half hour, work came to a standstill, at Pop's, as Mac Chromecasted my phone to the lobby TV and all of the employees stood there to watch the replay. I'd already had my fill of Mrs. Williams, so I took over babysitting the pies that were in the oven and covering the phone. The guys pretty much all high-fived me. The girls were quieter, some of them knew Casey, the others were just thinking about how big of a bitch this woman was. I got a couple pats on the shoulder from one or two of them. I asked the mom of the bunch if I should show the video to Kay's.
"She obviously already knows what her grandmother is like and I think she'll want to see it, but there's like nothing of redeeming value there,"
she lamented.
"Sad?"
I nodded. She looked in my eyes.
"I'd almost feel sorry for her,"
she said.
"But she's so obviously mental. I'm really actually worried we might get an order for the triple olive special."
I started to smile but realized she was serious. I texted Casey and told her that I had a video of a face-to-face confrontation with her grandmother. I asked her if she wanted me to save it until Friday or get it over with now so that it wouldn't spoil our time together. 10 minutes later, she walked into Pop's. We didn't even get to talk until 15 minutes after that. Absolutely every employee in the place queued up to give her a hug and offer their condolences. She was pretty floored by the outpouring of emotions. Max shuffled my deliveries to others and by the time Casey was free I was off the clock. We went out to my car.
"How bad is it?"
she laughed.
"Half of those people don't even know me."
I opened the door, and she slid in. I nudged her to scoot over and I dropped in beside her, handing her the phone.
"Just to be clear, I didn't show it to them." Mac grabbed my phone. However, I didn't stop him.
She started the video, quiet through the whole thing. When it ended, she hit the power button to put it to sleep and handed my phone back, turning to face me. She grabbed the bottom of my chin between her thumb and forefinger, and pulled my face towards her, delivering a soft kiss directly to my anxious lips.
"You really are trying to get into my pants, aren't you, Mr. Mitchell? I would love nothing better,"
I admitted.
"It wasn't perfect and you may have just launched the Crusades, but you did good. We need to find a way to cut these puppet strings of hers,"
I said.
"I've thought about it. I admit I got a little distracted with my sister-wife scheme, but I've already spent several nights trying to work out a solution. Part of the problem is, I don't even know where all of the tendrils reach."
I looked into those sad, captivating eyes.
"Could I get one more of those kisses? Your grandmother stiffed me on the tip and... you're horrible,"
she accused, laughing. She clenched her fists and pounded my chest.
"Hello? Pop's Pizza?"
I laughed.
"I'd like to order the triple olive special."
"Oh," she growled, grabbing my head in her hands, pulling me into a fierce kiss. I melted in the heat of the passion she was pouring into me. The kiss got longer and longer and turned a little feral. It reminded me a lot of the one her mother had given me, while I was tilling her garden to get ready to deliver some seed. When she released me, we were both gasping for air.
"Damn, girl! I can't wait until Friday!"
She reached down and grabbed my stiff cock through my jeans. I was turned on and scared all at the same time.
I promise you that you wouldn't get to see my pussy for a month, and damn it, I keep my promises.
Unfortunately, that means I will have to leave this car without giving you my virginity. I hope you have something special planned for Friday, because you'll have a tough time topping this.
I pulled my phone up and snapped her picture.
You're sick.
Sick.
You're gonna stare at that tonight while you jerk off.
I'm about to come right now.
You make me so horny.
God. I want to fuck you so badly.
What are you gonna do, naughty boy?
She asked, stroking me through my pants. I laid my head back on the headrest and groaned, willing her not to stop until I found relief, praying she could read my thoughts.
Switch me spots, she ordered, a minute later.
What? I can't finger myself with my left hand.
I need to switch.
Trade me spots. At that moment, I would have punched her grandmother square in the face if she'd have told me to. I would do whatever she asked as long as there was even the slightest chance of her rubbing my cock, even if it was through my jeans.
Fuck! You're so hot!
I moaned, picking her up by her hips, sliding left, and depositing her on the other side of me.
Hands off the goods, wicked boy, she said, grinning evilly.
Yes, mistress. I hadn't even really looked at what Casey was wearing. I'd been so worried about how she'd react to the video. She had on a black tank top cropped so that her delectable belly button was showing with a white tennis skirt. Her right hand was buried beneath those pristine pleats, working its way inside of her underwear, from what I could gather.
God, you're beautiful,
I groaned, my eyes feasting on her sumptuous body. Her left hand was struggling to grip my stiff clothing-covered cock.
Get it out,
she ordered. I moved without hesitation. I didn't know what was next, but resistance was futile. I raised my ass off of the seat and drug my pants and underwear to my knees without unbuckling, unbuttoning, or unzipping anything. The air in the car filled with musk as my dick stood proudly from my naked groin, begging to be touched, a drop of precum already oozing from the slit at the tip. Casey's soft hand wrapped around my cock and I groaned and leaned back, trying to press my body flat, thrusting my hips up so that she had full access to my meat, hoping, praying she'd stroke it. I could hear myself moaning in anticipation. I didn't care. I was lost, wanton, my brain lust-addled. Her hand slid up towards the sensitive head and I ground my teeth together, the pleasure almost excruciating, her stroke so slow that it was even more intense. Afraid that, if I tried to fuck her hand, she'd stop what she was doing, I held as still as possible. I'm not even sure I was still breathing. Her palm reached the ridge of the crown and moved back down again, agonizingly slow. I began to smell her spicy musk and hear the sounds of her fingers slipping in and out of the sensual suction of her gripping snatch. She bumped against me repeatedly as she wiggled and squirmed, driving her fingers in and out of her needy twat while slowly continuing to stroke my meat with her left hand. Now at the bottom of my stiff rod, she slid her fingers around and palmed my inflated nutsack, caressing my balls, encouraging them to work a little harder. My testes ached painfully. My stomach was in knots. I longed for release. Her hand slid back around and her fingers once again gripped my raging prick. Her touch was electrifying. Her hand moved a little faster, maybe twice as fast as before. My teeth hurt from being locked together. Casey's breathing was growing more ragged. I could tell that her fingers plunging in and out of her quim were moving more frantically. Whether she'd finally decided to stop tormenting me or was just lost in her own quest for climax, her hands started rapidly pumping up and down my cock. I wanted to look at her sexy body with her fingers busy fucking that cunt that I wanted so desperately to see, to touch, to taste, to.
Fuck!
She shrieked, her body stiffening. Her hand had just reached my cockhead when her orgasm hit. Her fingers wrapped themselves around the lower half of my angry helmet. Lost in her climax, her fingers clenched and unclenched, clamping down on my cock and head. Between the relentless stimulation and the primal sounds of rapture coming from the sexy woman beside me, my penis informed my testes that it was time. My release was so powerful, I felt like my hair hurt as the semen started rocketing from my dick. It seemed like hours passed before my balls stopped firing. My eyes were still closed, reveling in the intense release. Casey's hand was still wrapped around my cock. I could die happy right now. The woman next to me gave a little shudder, relaxed, and then started laughing. I opened my eyes and started to turn to look over at her to see what was so funny when I saw it. Her hand was still aiming my unflagging trouser schnauzer up over the dash of my car. A huge wad of jizz was clinging to the inside of my windshield, threatening to drip down onto the dash. Casey slid her fingers up to steal the last bit of semen, sitting on my manslit, bringing the corrupt seed to her mouth to taste me. I groaned again, watching her naughty mouth work. Her right hand withdrew slowly from where it had been laboring beneath that pure, virgin white skirt. I watched as those slick-looking fingers joined the first, and Casey alternated licking between my juices and her own. I wanted, so badly, to grab my cock to jerk off to her sensuous show, but I needed, desperately, to find some Hardee's napkins to clean up my spunk before my dash turned into a gooey mess. I leaned to my left to reach under my seat to see if there were any hidden there, and Casey's hand took hold of my penis again.
1 month,
she proclaimed, penalizing and promising at the same time. I found the napkins and sat up to start the cleanup. She released her hold on my fuck meat and took a few napkins to help me.
You're a messy boy. You got me pretty wound up.
Wah, she drawled dramatically. I laughed. Her phone chimed.
Mom wants to know if I'm still a virgin, she said, laughing. I'd better get going. See you Friday.
She started to leave, but then turned and snapped a picture of my cock before climbing out of the car.
Now I've got something to jerk off to too,
she laughed. The date.
Mrs. Williams met me at the door and pulled me inside. "You are a naughty boy. I've missed you too." I laughed. "I was jealous. Casey told me all about your hot little escapade." She ran off to fingerfuck herself after she described it to me. Her screams echoed throughout the house when she came, staring at that picture of your meat. As she dropped to her knees, taking my pants and underwear to my ankles, I realized she was wearing the exact outfit that Casey had worn on Wednesday. It couldn't possibly be the same outfit, could it? Her braless braids were stretching the material of the tank top to the breaking point. Her thumb-sized nipples were rock-hard, seemingly trying to gnaw their way through the dark cloth. The white skirt was too short for her adult body. Even when she was standing straight up, it didn't cover the bottom of her ass cheeks. Squatted down in front of me. "No panties and her pussy is shaved. Fuck!" The word exploded from my throat as Mrs. Williams' mouth inhaled my cock all the way to my ballsack, which she tongued. I was not trying to control her, but my hands shot to the back of her head. A vertigo-like sensation reverberated through my entire body as my brain informed the rest of me that we were under attack from a vacuum cleaner. "Mom!" Casey yelled angrily. My hot-ass MILF lover never bobbed her head and never relented. She just continued to hoover my cock with the head wedged into her throat as her tongue stroked up and down the underside of every part of my rod that she could reach, teasing and tugging. In what felt like seconds, my testes were offloading all cargo we carried on board. "Enjoy your date," she said, as she stood to her feet, grabbed my bare ass in her hands, and pulled me in for a lusty kiss. She turned and walked away, her bare ass cheeks bouncing below the hem of the near-pointless skirt. "Put my clothes in the hamper, you slut!" Casey yelled over her shoulder as she walked my way. "You ready?" she asked, grinning and looking longingly at my stiffy. "Oh yeah?" I retorted. She laughed. "Come on then, stud. Let's see what you've planned." It cost me a few favors, but our first stop was the city's electricity generating plant. Our former classmate met us at the back door after buzzing us into the gated parking area. "Nick?" Casey asked, looking over at me and back at my friend. "Hey, Casey. It's nice to see you again. You work here?" Nick shook his head, laughing softly. "Maybe someday. My uncle does. He's in his office, running some forecast simulations, trying to plan for the summer peaks and anticipate what the rest of the year will turn into." She hesitated for a moment but then said, "So you're our tour guide?" Nick blushed. "That's awesome," my date said encouragingly. "Amaze me." Nick stutter froze for a second. "Dude, she's almost as big of a nerd as us. Show us all this shit I've been dying to see in person." His hesitation disappeared. A little over an hour later, we were back at the same door where Nick had met us. Casey held out her hand. When Nick got up the courage to take it, she shook it. "That was amazing, Nick. You really know your stuff. I even tried to stump you with what I thought were hard questions, but you never hesitated. You're either a really good bullshitter or you're going to be an incredible electrical engineer." Nick looked at me, lost, and back at my gorgeous girlfriend. "Thanks," he said, a grin trying to sneak onto his face as he finally started to relax. I offered my hand as well, which he took more easily. "Cool stuff, dude. It was everything I'd hoped for. You're gonna rock at this and the pay's not bad, right? The classes are hard and the field's super competitive. Dude, you always worry too much. Thanks for the tour. It was amazing." I turned to open the exterior door. "Thanks again, Nick. Very cool stuff," Casey said, turning to follow me. "See you guys," he called. "I'll call you," I said. "We'll get together. You going to Eastern?" "I'm cheaping out," he said. "Taking the easy stuff at the community college first." "Us too," I told him. "We'll catch you for lunch sometime." "All right," he said. "Sounds good. See you." "See you in the car," Casey said. "You're right. He's nice and smart. I need to call my cousin. We'll take them on a double date and see how it goes." I raised an eyebrow at her. I know. She's nice. She wouldn't do that shit. I'll talk to her." I started the car. "So how am I doing so far?" I asked. "Better than expected." She laughed. "Harsh," I moaned. "Poor baby." She chuckled. "What's next?" Several minutes later, we arrived at the biggest park in the city. I held her door as she got out of the car and took her hand, leading her off through the trees to an open field down by a small, babbling creek. I let go of her hand and laid down in the grass. "Nap time?" She laughed. "Come on," I said, running my fingers through the grass beside me. "What are we doing?" "Looking for dragons," I said, smiling. She told me I was a dweeb but laid down beside me anyway. I laced our fingers together and pulled hers to my lips to kiss them before lowering them to the soft grass between us. "Duck," I called out, pointing to a cloud with my left hand. "That doesn't look like a duck," she argued. "What does it look like then?" "Well, maybe a little, but it's an ugly duck," she laughed. We studied the shifting cumulonimbus shapes as they casually crawled across the sky, calling out figures we spotted and arguing over what they looked like. "Dragon?" Casey announced. "I'll be damned," I laughed. "I win," she declared. I stood and offered her my assistance. "What?" she asked. "You won. Time to go claim your prize." She accepted my help and stood with a crinkled eyebrow. Leading her by the hand, I headed to the right of where the car was parked and rounded a copse of trees to find the food cart I was seeking. She looked over at me. "Homemade sorbet. I think you'll like it. If not, we can hit DQ later.
I got 2 scoops of black raspberry. She got 1 of strawberry and 1 of peach.
The peach surprised me.
We found a shady spot and plopped down in the grass to enjoy our snack. I tried a taste of the peach and she tried my raspberry.
Strawberry is not for me.
She ended up deciding that the peach was the best, followed by the raspberry. She said the strawberry wasn't bad, just not as good as the others.
I don't experiment much when raspberry is available, but the peach was pretty good. We were still a little early heading to dinner, but I didn't want to include too much in the evening, or I'd quickly run out of ways to intrigue my princess.
Before I took her to Benny's Burgers, I asked how she liked her fries. Her response was, "Crispy on the outside and puffy in the middle." So I figured I was safe. We pulled up in front of the place and she scowled at me.
I laughed, knowing that would be her reaction. It's not much to look at.
I helped her out of the car and led her inside.
"Hey, Cindy!"
She squealed, seeing one of our old classmates behind the counter.
"Case!"
Cindy ran out from behind the counter. They squeezed each other. I imagined the two of them doing that while completely naked in a small pool filled with lime gelatin, and then she returned to her post.
"I've never seen you in here before," she said.
Casey pointed at me.
"Hey, Reg. The usual?"
She grinned.
"Yeah, and the same for Casey. You think she can eat all that?"
She laughed.
"She needs her energy,"
I teased.
"I've got some strenuous physical activity planned for later."
"Oh my god, Reg,"
she cackled.
"You're horrible."
She looked over at Casey, who just grinned. Cindy gaped at her.
"He's mostly kidding,"
Casey laughed.
"Have you too?"
she began to ask.
"Haven't gotten that far yet. He's still got the training wheels on. If the rumors we heard from Carol are anything to go by, though, he's packing dot."
Cindy snort laughed.
"You're both horrible. 2 specials coming up. It'll be about 10 minutes. Holler if you can't find a clean booth."
I handed her my debit card and we went to find seats.
"CIN?"
I called back.
"Yeah? You got peach shakes?"
I looked at Casey and she shrugged, but nodded.
"Yeah. Give us a jumbo peach and a jumbo black raspberry too, will ya? You're both gonna need doggy bags and to-go cups."
She laughed.
"Probably,"
I admitted, grinning. Casey found a booth. I sat across from her but put my hands on the table, palms up. She laid hers on mine.
"How'd I do?" "I'll let you know after I try the fries,"
she grinned.
"I think you'll like the burgers too. The only person who has ever complained was Carol. You brought her here?"
She never stopped bitching about it.
"Expected fine dining and a cunt full of my cock's knot. She never got either one."
Cindy arrived with the shakes and the receipt, which I signed after adding a big tip. She couldn't help but look at it.
"Thanks, Reggie. You're always good to me. I live on tips too, remember? I should show you this video I have of this horrible customer I had this week."
I looked over at Casey. Cindy was noticeably curious. Casey turned to her.
"My grandmother dad's mom called Pops and ordered a pizza just to get Reggie to her house and then tried to pay him to break up with me. Reggie threatened to call the cops when she told him she didn't want the pizza, and then he told her what a manipulative shit she was for trying to bribe him to dump me."
Cindy looked back and forth between the two of us, processing it all.
"Good job, Reggie. You've always been a stand-up guy."
"Thanks, Cindy."
"The cook hollered that our order was ready and she went to get our food."
"How much cheese is on that thing?"
Casey gasped as Cindy brought the tray over. Our mutual friend beamed.
2 fresh quarter-pound patties, grilled until the edges are a little crispy, swimming in cheese, one on the top, one on the bottom, and one in the middle. Real government cheese, not that veggie oil, cheese-flavored shit they sell at the store.
Casey looked at the huge burger in front of her and started to ask, but Cindy knew what was coming and pulled a steak knife out of her apron to hand to her.
"Shit!"
Casey exclaimed as she started trying to cut into the thing. I had created a small lake of ketchup on my plate and put the bottle where she could reach it. I scooted to my right and Cindy smiled and plopped down next to me to watch Casey's face. I took my big, fluffy napkin, unfolded it, and spread it across the front of my shirt. I picked up Casey's and handed it to her as she finished cutting the meat monster in half. She looked at the napkin and then at my chest, shrugged, and followed suit. I took the steak knife and carved my beef behemoth into 2 large sandwiches. I put down the knife and got a grip on the first half, looking over at Casey, who was trying to figure out how to grab it.
"Just pick it up, there's no other way. Lean over the plate a little, but make sure that napkin stays in place, or you'll be an even bigger mess. Like the windshield of your car the other day after our little playtime?"
Cindy's eyebrows shot up and Casey just cackled. She picked up the massive double-decker and brought it to her mouth for her first bite. I was already 2 bites and glad for the distraction when she started spilling secrets to Cindy.
"Well?"
I asked, as she swallowed the first bite.
"Carol was an idiot. This is the best damn burger I've ever had. Carol will always be an idiot,"
I said.
"And I knew you'd like it. You're a meat eater."
Cindy's head spun to look at me.
"You're evil,"
Casey groaned.
"I barely touched you with my hand before you came all over your dash. There's no way that fire hose is coming anywhere near my mouth."
"Coming your mouth?"
Cindy giggled. "You've got a little something right here," she said, pointing at the corner of her evil grin.
"Seriously?"
Casey laughed.
"You're as bad as him."
She bit into her burger for the second taste.
A half hour later, we were both stuffed. Cindy put the rest of our burgers in to-go boxes along with 2 big styrofoam cups holding the remainder of our creamy shakes. A pile of fries still littered our plates, but we had finally admitted defeat. As we neared the counter to head towards the door, Casey said, Cindy, tell the cook that was amazing.
Daddy.
Cindy called back through the window.
You free?
A large aproned, mustache man came through the swinging doors. Casey extended her hand.
Best damn burger I've ever had, and the fries were perfect. I'm just sad that I couldn't finish half of it.
Cindy's dad looked over at me. She's a lot smarter, nicer, and cuter than that other gal. You should probably try to hang on to this one.
He chuckled.
I'll do my best, sir. I said, shaking his hand as well. The shakes were good too.
Thanks, son.
Always nice to see you. Tell your mom hey for me.
Will do.
I turned to Casey. Is there like a smaller version I can order, next time, so I don't feel like I'm throwing away half of your work? She asked him.
I gotcha, Case.
Our classmate promised.
Thanks, Cindy.
We'll be back maybe not next week but soon.
See you guys.
She said as we headed to the door.
Hey, Reg.
She called to me, a second later.
Yeah?
You need any napkins for the car? She said, laughing.
Very funny.
I groaned, opening the door for my overstuffed girlfriend who was laughing just as loudly. In the car, Casey turned to me. What about Cindy and Nick? What happened to your cousin?
Plan B.
I really like Nick. I want to get him a girlfriend.
Maybe.
I don't know what Cindy's really looking for. She's so casual about everything. Nick's really serious. I don't know, it might work. What if we bring him here?
We could.
Cindy's biggest problem is that her dad doesn't have anybody else to work the counter. She's almost already married to her job.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't complain, but I've never seen her go out just to have fun. I'll have to think about it.
She mused.
Tell you what, I'll call Nick and we'll bring him here in 2 weeks. We'll see if anything sparks, but no meddling, clean room.
Fine.
She conceded, a little grumpily. As we rode along, she took my right hand and laced her fingers through mine.
You're right.
She admitted. Nick needs the real deal, not something I've manipulated.
I know you're just trying to help.
I told her, encouragingly.
You're smarter than you look.
She said, laughing. I tried to look like I'd been mortally wounded. The inspection. The door had barely closed before Casey's mom had my pants around my ankles and was fondling my cock and balls like a TSA agent.
Mom! Behave!
Casey barked. You just had that thing down your throat like 2 hours ago. Nothing happened and he's still mine for another hour.
But baby!
She complained. Casey handed her the to-go containers.
Try these.
If you're a good girl, maybe we'll take you with us next time. I pulled my pants up as Mrs. Williams headed to the kitchen with the leftovers. I dropped my sandwich and drink on the table and plopped onto the couch. Casey snuggled in beside me.
Sit on my lap?
I asked her.
Why?
So I can see your eyes. You just want to rub your boner against my ass. She accused.
Just a bonus.
I said slyly. She stood and started to sit across my legs.
Face me?
I begged. You're just trying to get me to dry hump you. I promise I will not move unless you tell me to. From the kitchen, between bites, her mother said. Grinding your clit against his boner is not sex and it will seriously improve your disposition.
Not helping.
Casey growled over her shoulder. She did, however, straddle my lap with her feet by knees and her knees beside my hips on the couch. I tucked my hand under her arms and I wrapped my arms around her.
You said you wouldn't move?
She growled. The armchair quarterback, in the next room, yelled.
False start. 5-yard penalty.
Repeat the first down. Casey's frustration with her mother was the only thing that exonerated me for failing to follow directions, although in my defense I thought it had been obvious that I was talking about movement below the waist. She wrapped her arms around my shoulders.
How did I do tonight?
I asked.
Are you this insecure? This is like the 10th time you've asked.
I want to please you. I said. I seriously like you, I'm not just trying to make your spreadsheet come true.
What adult?
I obviously missed a calculation somewhere. She said, chortling at me. She released the hug, pulled my face in for a quick teaser kiss, and said.
You did well.
Maybe even good enough for a reward. At that point, she made a little circle with her hips and my boner ground around on the fly of her blue jeans.
Fuck. Casey.
I moaned.
Illegal motion.
5 yards. Mrs. Williams yelled between bites. Casey grabbed my shoulders and started grinding her mons around on my stiffy. She closed her eyes. She seemed to be fixing a finish line in her mind.
Can I hold your hips?
No.
Touch your breasts?
No.
Your face?
No.
Can we do this with just our underwear on?
Definitely not. I leaned back against the back of the couch and let her frig herself on my dick bump. It was stimulating me a little, but it wasn't going to get me off unless I could participate more fully. When her moaning intensified, I looked up at her face, determined, focus climbing her own personal mountain.
Tease my nipples but nothing else through the shirt,
she commanded. Those tight little 22 caliber points were rubbing against the inside of her top. I reached thumb and forefinger of each hand up and nipped at the tiny buds. When I finally caught one, she hissed at me.
Enough!
I went back to being a human sex doll. She was still, obviously, gorgeous, but the intense focus on her face was a little distracting. All of a sudden, she ripped off her shirt and bra, calling out.
Suck my tits, my nipples, everything!
I grabbed her ribcage and started devouring her firm, delectable titties. I licked, sucked, nipped, and nibbled her breasts, her areolas, and her nipples. I had just started getting into it when she started yelling.
Stop! Stop! I can't stop! Fuck!
Help me, Reg.
She was still writhing on my hard-on.
What do I need to do?
I asked, looking at her anguished face.
Too fast. I'm losing control. Help.
Despite every primal instinct within me, I grabbed her hips, lifted her off of my lap, turned her sideways, set her across my legs, and pulled her to my chest, hugging her.
You're okay. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have pushed your boundaries.
She was sobbing, her breath gasping. Her hand was between her legs, covering her sensitive sex. I held her half-naked, trembling body, and tried to do what I could to calm her. She was doing that thing where you kind of hiccup from crying too hard. I pulled her head to my lips and softly kissed her right temple.
I'm sorry, Kaze. I whispered.
She was still looking off, across the room.
It was me too.
She sniffled.
I want this. I want you. I love you. I hate you. I adore you. I despise you. I knew this wouldn't be easy.
You make it harder because you're already turning into that copy of Daddy that I have so desperately wanted for so long. I hugged her closer. Her face cleared and I could see her brain working overtime.
I will keep my promise. She stated finally.
I said a month.
February has 28 days, which is 4 weeks. It's been 6 days. Tomorrow will be 7. 3 weeks from tomorrow, assuming I don't find out you're hiding something horrible from me, I will give you my virginity.
So, I began.
What?
She asked, conflicted, still looking across the room.
We have 3 weeks to figure out how this is going to work, the three of us.
She pulled back a little and looked at me.
Up to now, I explained. You've been able to consider my past girlfriends as historical.
To a degree, I think you're doing the same thing with my relationship with your mom.
Kind of, she admitted.
You don't have to decide anything now, and I know you've thought about it, but this 3 weeks from now things get weird or they get awkward or uncomfortable. From her seat, at the table, Mrs. Williams called out.
I'm all caught up. I can go another 2 years now.
Casey laughed.
Like hell. I'm sure you've watched that video of your face when Reggie was fucking you. You're just gonna shut that off?
I can't, she retorted.
Casey turned to her and said,
I don't doubt that. You already have, and I know you're strong enough, but it wouldn't be right.
I kissed the side of her head again.
You sound like you've already got this figured out.
I chuckled.
My brain does, but I know what you were asking me. Can my heart handle it?
The answer, ultimately, is that I will make it, but yeah, I've got a couple weeks to get myself ready for this while still anticipating your naughty cock destroying my hymen. We should probably sit farther apart if you're going to talk about my cock being inside of your pussy.
I chuckled. She gave me a light peck on the lips.
You just make it worse when you do shit like that, you know?
She accused.
What did I do?
I asked.
I think you know, Mr. Adorable. Now get your lumpy cock out of the crack of my ass.
Speaking of ass, I asked evilly.
That's a hard no, Buster. Get that shit out of your head right now.
I threw my hands up in surrender.
Just playing. You don't touch mine and I won't touch yours. You don't like a finger in your ass when you're coming?
The MILFy teacher asked from the kitchen.
You don't know what you're missing.
Mom!
Casey complained.
Yeah, TMI.
I laughed. I twirled a fingertip around Casey's naked right areola.
WTF?
Dude!
Hands?
Sorry.
I grinned sheepishly.
You realize you're a succubus, right? You should probably put some clothes on, dear.
Her mom agreed.
Well, he should be all primed for a little quality time with his favorite science teacher.
Casey told her.
I said she was the hottest. I never said she was my favorite.
I retorted, grinning evilly. Mrs. Williams crossed her arms over her chest, covering her milk jugs, with a huff.
You know I'm just funning, right?
I laughed, trying to extricate myself from the awkward silence that ensued.
Right. If my finger just accidentally ends up in your rectum while we're having sex, I'm just funning.
My heart froze in my chest.
Can I sleep with you tonight?
I asked Casey. She howled with laughter, turned to straddle my lap again, grabbed my face, and gave me a smoldering kiss while grinding herself on me again. When she finished taking my breath away, she stood up, grabbed her top from the couch, and headed upstairs, yelling.
I'm gonna turn my music way up, Mom. Have fun!
She cackled as she turned down the hall. I heard the refrigerator door shut and turned to find everything cleared from the table, while my former anatomy teacher was removing the last of her clothes. She laid on her back on the dining room table wearing nothing but a pair of white socks with lace at the ankles and hard leather, glossy black shoes with 1-inch heels. She raised her head to look at me. She was wearing the pair of glasses that made her look like a hot librarian. She pulled her knees up, reached between her thighs to grab a hold of the heels on her shoes, and pulled them back, spreading her glorious sex open for the world to see. In my hurry to get from the couch to my lover, I tripped over my feet and collided with the recliner, nearly breaking my dick in half. Her hefty breasts were corralled by her arms, as they reached down her body. Her huge nipples were completely erect and were pointing at her pussy. Casey had talked as if her mom and dad fucked all of the time, but this pussy wasn't a ragged MS. It wasn't the perfect pink of a virgin, but it was super attractive, especially when paired with the rest of her sexy body. I didn't bother undressing. I just threw my pants and shorts to my ankles and cock and hand-lined myself up to enter heaven.
I have an offering for you, goddess,
I proclaimed, sliding my penis into her velvety tightness.
My God! She is glorious!
Even without the little hot secretary affectations, this woman was a vision of sexuality. And her body felt even better than it looked.
Fuck!
I groaned, as I bottomed out inside of her.
Yes!
She hissed, in agreement.
I paused to savor the thrilling stimulation and get enough air into my lungs to ask my question.
Fucking or lovemaking?
I'm a naughty mommy, having sex with my daughter's boyfriend.
I'm a slut.
Fuck me like the whore I am. Punish my pussy, but I don't deserve your seed, shoot it all over me. Her body had me rock hard. Her outfit had my balls aching. Her words the forbidden pictures she drew in my mind. I was going to fuck the shit out of this beautiful woman. I slowly slid my stiff cock out of her slippery channel. She whimpered as it left. I gave her a second to appreciate the absence. The air in the room was cool on my slick penis. I took my cock in my hand and used it like a fly swatter to punish her slit and clit. She closed her eyes and bit her lower lip. Worried I'd come too fast if I used my cock, I slid two fingers into her quim, fucking them in and out of her as my other hand rubbed little circles around on her clit. When she seemed to be approaching an orgasm, I stopped, removing all stimulation for a few seconds, and then swatted her sex with my cock a few more times. I took another break and then repeated the process, bringing her back to the edge, causing her whimpers to intensify, and then spanking her pussy, again, with my danger noodle. After the third time, I stopped completely. Dick still in my hand, I lined up with her entrance millimeters from her soft folds, no contact, so she wouldn't know what I was planning. I reached my left hand around her raised leg and thigh, grabbed on, and drove my penis into her pussy, burying myself to the root, and throwing my right hand around the other leg to make sure I had a firm grip. The air was forced from her lungs by the unexpected intrusion. I did not give her time to recover. Holding tightly to her legs, I started plowing my cock in and out of her clenching cunt. I slid my hands lower to where her legs met her hips to strengthen my hold, driving in each time as hard and fast and deep as I could go.
"Whose cock is this?"
I demanded, continuing to fuck her mercilessly.
"Casey's,"
she moaned.
"Whose?"
"Casey's." I was getting close.
"Do you want my seed?"
"Yes."
"Why?"
"I want your children.
Breed me. Did you ask Casey?"
"No." She frowned, sadly her emotions raw. I couldn't tell if we were still role-playing. I felt my ball sack wither and yanked my fuck meat out of my lover to shotgun my spunk back and forth across her body. She convulsed each time my hot jizz splashed onto her gorgeous figure. Her eyes were open, watching the jets of semen shoot from my dick. She looked happy and sad all at the same time. She'd gotten what she'd asked for, but she looked disappointed just the same. When my AK-47 ran out of ammo, I asked her.
"Did you come yet?"
"A little one, but I'm close," she admitted. I leaned forward and captured her amazing ass in my hands, burying my face in her spicy sex. She cooed at me. I followed all of the instructions she'd given me in our previous lessons, the things to help both of us enjoy the act even more: licking, nipping, nibbling, and sucking. I used my tongue to visit every part of her that I could reach to stimulate every erogenous zone, cleaning her, adoring her, making oral love to my beautiful partner. I looked up across her jizz-covered body to see her staring straight into my eyes. I flicked her clit with the tip of my tongue. Her fingers were slowly rubbing my seed into her ripe melon, swirling it around her areolas and nipples. I could sense and hear her climax approaching. Her body was tensing, her pussy was clasping, her clit was rigid. I licked rapidly, from the top of her perineum to her clit, sucked on the stiff bud for a second, and dropped back down to do it again. Her body tensed, and she moaned. A second later, a short burst of her juices splashed onto my tongue as she screamed.
"Fuck!"
I stayed there, tongue pressed against her pearly gate, to enjoy her sexy writhing and reduce the amount of cleanup we'd have to do. When she let go of her heels and her legs flopped down on either side of me, I stood to help her rise. She grinned, evilly, as she hugged her body to mine, smearing my spend all over the front of my outfit. I laughed into her mouth as she captured my face to give me a wicked kiss.
"Oh, look,"
she said, grinning, as we separated.
"Your clothes are dirty. I guess we'll just have to sleep naked."
I wanted to be mad at her. I really did.
Chapter 03.
Breakfast. I woke up again, in a cozy bed that was not my own. The room was, once more, bathed in sparkling sunlight. I opened my eyes to see Mrs. Williams looking at my face, smiling, as before.
"You hungry, handsome?"
There was a wicked gleam in her eye. Was it just because of the deja vu from the same scene, last week, and the same question she'd asked? I replied simply,
"Yes,"
and waited. She launched the bed's coverings to the floor, spun end to end, and pounced onto my semi-rigid cock. When I realized where her face was headed, it sprang to life. Now that her face was mere inches away, it was anxiously awaiting whatever was coming next. Hovering above my face was the pinkest, most attractive set of pussy lips I had ever seen. I started without her. Her sexy snatch tasted like a mixture of the two of us, probably from the wild fucking I had given her on the dining room table the night before. Her hand was sliding up and down my meaty shaft, jacking me off. She took one of my testicles into her mouth, sucked gently, and cuddled and caressed it with her tongue, then she switched sides. I had only been awake for a few seconds and my balls were already aching to release somewhere in or on this gorgeous woman's body. The adoration of my fun bag stopped, and I unclenched my asshole only to clench it again when, I swear, she stared chewing on my cockhead. I was so distracted by the intense stimulation that it took me a bit to realize that I had forgotten what I was supposed to be doing. As she worked me over, I licked her pussy like a popsicle from bottom to top now and again, so as to let her know I was at least still conscious. She was rapid-fire jacking my cock again, sucking the head, tonguing the ridge, nibbling, gnawing.
"Fuck!"
I growled as my testes gave up the fight. My semen started firing burst after burst into her greedy mouth. As soon as she tasted my seed,
her body started trembling. She hunched her cunt harder down onto my face, and she started fucking herself up and down across my mouth, nose, and chin. I tongued and sucked everything I could reach. In seconds, she squeaked, tensed, and her sexy snatch ejaculated onto my tongue. I lapped at the juices, not missing much, and then worshipped her quim and all of its beautiful parts inside and out. She leaned to the nightstand and then, once again, returned facing the still-smoking barrel of my freshly fired weapon. I heard the click of her phone, taking a picture, and a couple seconds later a second one. I was still recuperating as she climbed off of the bed. I stared at the ceiling. My heart was pounding. My lover went to the bathroom, ran the sink for a bit, and then returned to pull me up for a full contact hug and kiss. You have not been kissed until the glorious, naked breasts of a real woman are pressed against your bare chest as her mouth devours yours and her tongue teases your own. She grabbed her phone and showed me the before and after pictures of her mouth full of my jizz that she had captured and then empty after she'd swallowed my gift. Somewhere in the sexy teacher's stomach, my seed was desperately searching for an egg to fertilize. That thought made me realize how much I would love to have a child with this beautiful woman. Her trip to the bathroom sink had been to remove the overspray of my spunk from her eyes, nose, and cheeks. She palmed my ballsack and looked into my eyes. My dick was already reflating. She gave me another lusty kiss. After having your cock sucked first thing in the morning, nothing is quite as rejuvenating as watching the exquisite anatomy of your former anatomy teacher as they parade naked around the room, taking far longer to bend over repeatedly to pick up discarded clothing items to carry them one at a time to the hamper where for absolutely no reason whatsoever she bends over once more, looking over her shoulder and biting her lower lip to deposit said item into the basket. Now am I your favorite teacher? She asked, grinning. I think I came again just watching you do that. You are so fucking sexy. Good morning to you too, handsome. You ready for breakfast? Mrs. Williams and I put on house robes to head downstairs. We stopped by the laundry to move my clothes, soiled in last night's festivities, from the washing machine to the dryer. Casey looked up from her tablet, an empty cereal bowl, and frowned at me. Good morning, gorgeous. You're not quite as stunning when you're frowning. Do I need to apologize for something, or is there somebody I need to kill to restore your beautiful smile? She shook her head and said, I've painted myself into a corner. I quirked an eyebrow at her, and she continued. I promise you it would be a month before you got to see my pussy. I also informed you that it has always been my intention not to give up my virginity until my wedding night. I nodded. Last night I told you that I would give you my virginity 3 weeks from today. I know of only one way to do this without turning myself into a liar. I won't make you keep that. I began. Mrs. Williams rested her hand on my shoulder, telling me to let Casey finish. The sexy but solemn cheerleader looked into my eyes. It was as much a promise to myself as you. Twice now, you've pushed me to a place I've never been before where logic no longer matters to me. I'm sorry. No. I'm not mad. You heard me last night, I will give myself to you in 3 weeks. The hardest part will be the waiting, but those are the constraints that I've given myself. We can stop. No. This isn't your score on some spreadsheet anymore. This isn't about fooling Grandma Williams. This is about me and you. She looked at her mother. And. You and Mom. I started to interrupt again, but Mrs. Williams squeezed my shoulder. This is not even about my pussy or my pussy needing your dick. She laid her tablet down and turned to face me, her expression deadly serious. If you don't ask me to marry you. She stopped, considered what she was planning to say, and held up a hand. No. Wait. That makes me sound like Grandma Williams making other people follow my rules, giving them ultimatums. She got up from her seat and walked over to me, dropping to her knees in front of me and taking my left hand in hers. I couldn't let her do this. Looking down into her eyes, I dropped onto my knees so that we were facing each other eye to eye and grabbed both of her hands. Will you marry me? We both asked at exactly the same time. I don't know what I will do if you don't say yes. She said. I am hopelessly, helplessly in love with you. I would do anything and everything in my power to get you to marry me. So, is that a yes? She asked shyly. I bit my lower lip. She grinned, threw her arms around me, and kissed me on the spot I had nibbled a kiss of joy of bliss. When she let me breathe again, I lifted her hands to my mouth, looked back into her eyes, said, yes, and kissed her fingers. The wind was knocked out of me when my future mother-in-law pounced on the two of us, driving us, sideways, into the carpeted floor. Mom, Casey complained loudly. It was then that we heard the sobbing. Mrs. Williams' body was trembling from crying so hard, and she was trying to gasp for breath. Casey and I rolled onto our backs and each wrapped an arm around her mother. Beneath Mrs. Williams' body, Casey's fingers found mine, and she interlaced them. I leaned to my right and gave her a smooch. She looked at me all dreamy-like. My insides were jelly. We waited for her mom to get it all out. When she'd finally quieted and her body was doing the little stutter breath thing, I looked over to Casey and whispered, "Let's not tell your mom just yet. We should probably think about eloping. I'm not too sure how she'll take it." My former science teacher leaned back and glared at me. You're evil, she accused. I'm bad. I agree. I should probably be punished. You could spank him, Casey suggested, grinning evilly. I could use a good tongue lashing, I offered, trying to look chagrined. Evil, Mrs. Williams repeated, standing up. Pure evil. Finally freed from our burden, I rolled towards my sweetheart, looked into her eyes, and said, Hey, I need to go find you a ring. No, you don't need to. You want to go with me? Her eyes got big and I swear she stared back with such intensity that I thought I was going to come in my pants.
Yes.
Shopping. Mom and I grabbed cereal, bowls, and spoons and scarfed down breakfast. My clothes still had a few minutes left to dry. My MILF lover filled the downtime with hugs shared between my fiancé and me as we stood in front of the laundry. She apparently noticed a lump in my robe during the hug. What can I say? She has that effect on me. She dropped to her knees, opened my robe, and took my cock into her mouth, wrapping her hands around me to grip my ass cheeks and hold me in place.
Mother!
Casey gasped. Will you please not suck my husband's cock in front of me? My cock left her mouth with a pop. First of all, daughter, the poor boy is dangerously close to having blue balls. I'm just helping maintain marital bliss by assisting you in your duties.
Duties?
And lastly, I've been sucking and fucking this cock for weeks and now you're going to tell me I'm not allowed. Although my former teacher, whose robe had opened to show her generous breasts and bare pussy, had stopped sucking my meat, she was nevertheless still stroking me as she argued with her daughter. As her words got louder, her strokes got stronger. I was getting close to coming again, really close. Casey had raised a finger, looking very much like her mother had in the classroom a time or two, preparing to say something when I felt my testes fire. I grabbed her mother's head, drove my cock through her mouth and down her throat, and started spewing my load straight towards her stomach, grunting as each cannon pulse fired. When I pulled out, she took hold of my dick one last time, licked the head like a lollipop, and then stood to face her daughter.
Crisis averted,
she said, grinning.
Honey bear.
I cooed, trying to catch Casey's left hand. She let me catch her hand but laughed.
No. Schnookums? I think not. Princess? Definitely not. Goddess?
She looked at her mother then back at me and shook her head.
Cupcake? I don't think so. Muffin?
No.
Listen,
she said, interrupting my next attempt.
Yes, beautiful.
She smiled and I got a quick peck on the lips.
Now. That.
She glanced at her mother, who was dabbing the corner of her mouth.
Mom has finished her breakfast. We should probably get moving.
Mrs. Williams took my robe and I started getting dressed. The rivet on my jeans was still a little hot, so I kept my thumb in the waistband to prevent it from burning me. When we were outside, back in the front seat of my car once more, my lovely fiancé snuggled up against me. I turned and kissed her on the nose. She looked into my eyes and bit her lips, so I acceded to her request, kissing her tender mouth.
I love you,
I told her.
I know,
she said, curling herself around my arm.
I love you and want you so badly. I can sit next to him and protect your virginity if you need me to,
her mother said, chuckling.
Thanks, mother,
she said.
I think you've helped enough today.
Mrs. Williams folded her arms over her ample breasts and pouted like a schoolgirl who'd been told she couldn't have any pudding until she'd eaten her meat. The image of my former teacher in a plaid skirt and a white button-up shirt had my balls churning again. I started the car before they got us into any more trouble. We began at the mall, ending up in one of those chain jewelry stores. We were heading back out of that store within seconds. When the two of us walking hand in hand saw Carol behind the counter looking as bitter as always, we stopped in our tracks and Casey's mom ran into us.
Oh. What?
Oh.
Hello, Carol. Hi, Mrs. Williams.
Casey went left, and I went right, which had us pulling at each other's grip. Rather than turn back to discuss it, we released our hands and reconnected once we had safely circumnavigated her mother, and were leaving my ex-girlfriend behind. I don't know how long Mrs. Williams spent catching up with the sadistic bitch, but my hot cheerleader and I were headed across the commons area to the next store. Casey's mom caught up with us as we arrived just before my phone buzzed. I looked down to see a text from Carol.
Seriously?
Nope.
Never.
Die in a hole.
How do I not have you blocked already?
Casey squeezed my hand as I instructed my phone to never allow another call or text from Carol to come through again. We stepped into the store that appeared to be free of former classmates and headed to the glass cases. Casey browsed while I tried discreetly to check the balance in my checking account. I could feel the blood drain out of my face as I ran the numbers. Casey noticed, of course.
Hey, we don't have to.
I took her hands in mine.
Do you love me? What kind of silly question is that? And I would tell you the same thing.
She stared at me.
What would you do for me?
I asked her. Her forehead wrinkled.
Is there anything that you would not do for me? You have to wait 3 more weeks.
Other than that.
No.
Then do you not think that I would do anything to make you happy?
You already make me happy.
Let's go.
I'm buying you a ring.
We'll wait.
Today. I'll find a reasonably priced one.
She finally conceded.
No.
Why not?
Cause when we see Carol again, which you fucking know is going to happen as soon as we walk out of this store, I want her to shit herself.
Casey pulled her hands out of mine and wrapped mine in hers.
As much as I love that idea and can already imagine the look on the whore's face. That's not a valid reason to spend that much money.
I squatted down, wrapped my arms around her legs just under her ass, and stood back up, raising her above me a head taller than everybody else in the showroom. Loud enough for everyone to hear, I said.
This gorgeous girl has agreed to marry me and I need a ring as beautiful as her. That's not a good reason either.
She whispered, but she leaned forward and kissed me hard enough that I had to set her down to fix the tent in my pants. The new laptop was on hold, so were the tires for the car as well as the other things I'd been saving for, but after we picked the engagement ring and wedding band, even Mrs. Williams was kissing me. I walked out of the store with both ladies on my arms. We nearly ran into Carol.
Hello, Carol.
Casey said.
What a pleasant surprise.
She extended her hand so that the hag could clearly see the ring. When Carol looked up at her, she said,
"My fiancé has blocked your number. Stay away from us or I'll cut you into so many pieces they'll need a magnifying glass to find them all."
With that, we left them all and headed back to number 24 Mulberry. I started to pull into the drive, but there was an ancient Lincoln Continental parked in my place, so I pulled out front as Casey cursed under her breath.
"Grandma?"
I guessed. She nodded, pointing to the hag standing on the front steps next to a man whose sandy hair was starting to gray at the edges. Casey led the way towards the house. Her mother trailed behind. I ended up in the middle.
"Hello, Grandma, Grandpa.
What's up?"
"Merely stopping by for a visit, sweetheart.
I have company right now. We were running errands and just came home to grab a jacket. We're going to go play putt-putt, and the forecast said it might rain."
I stopped beside Casey. Her mom was still a half step behind me.
"We just wanted to chat for a bit, dear. It won't take long. We can talk here if you'd like."
"Who's this?"
"This is Reggie. My fiancé."
"Fiancé? You'd need a ring for that, wouldn't you though?"
Casey held out her hand.
"My, my. I'll bet that came with a hefty set of payments. Not that it's really any of your business, but he paid cash."
"What do you need, Grandma?"
"Well, that's not a very nice way."
I stepped in front of Casey.
"Casey and I will be married 3 weeks from today. We're going to play putt-putt and talk some more about arrangements. If your matters are more urgent than that, this might be a good time to spit them out. Otherwise, they can probably wait until after the wedding."
I looked from the woman to her mate to see him staring at me.
"Since Casey's father is no longer here, would you be willing to give her away?"
I asked him.
"Harold."
He looked at her with more backbone than I expected, but said nothing.
"Fine."
The woman spat at Casey. Turning to leave, she muttered,
"I wasn't even invited to the last wedding."
"That's not true,"
my former science teacher whispered behind me.
"What?"
The hag turned to confront her. I stepped between them.
"From what I understand, you chose not to participate in the last wedding. It would not hurt my feelings in the least if you boycotted this one as well. That, however, is your decision."
"Well, I never—"
I looked at her and smiled, waiting for her to remember what I'd said the last time she spewed that vitriol at me. She stomped off to the car, waiting for her husband to open the door for her. Only after the car was down the road and out of sight did the two loveliest women in my life break into tears and snuggle into my arms.
"I'm sorry if I overstepped."
I apologized mostly to Casey but to her mom as well. Her crying lessened and she sniffled.
"No.
It was fine, better than fine, actually, and I never even thought about Grandpa Williams taking Daddy's place."
She started sobbing again. When they were down to mild hyperventilation, their bodies recovering from the intense crying, I said,
"I need to ask you something."
"What?"
Casey asked.
"Can we go to the zoo? Cuddly animals will take my mind off of Grandma Williams?"
she asked, stray tears still dampening her cheeks.
"Well, that and I should probably tell Mom that I'm getting married."
Feeding time. At the ticket area, I stepped up to the window of the cashier that I knew.
"Hey, Linda."
"Hey, Reggie.
Can I get 2 staff visitor passes?"
Okay.
I grabbed Casey's hand and held the ring up for her to see.
"I proposed to Casey and I kind of need to go tell Mom before somebody else does."
"Holy shit.
Sweetie. That's awesome,"
she said to Casey. Looking at me, she said,
"You too, Reg."
I laughed.
"Thanks.
When's the wedding?"
3 weeks.
"Shit. She's not."
"No."
I laughed.
"We.
I mean, I don't think your mom would."
"Oh, listen to me. Let me get you those passes."
She printed out 2 passes and gave them to me. I handed them over to Casey and her mom.
"Your mom works here?"
Casey asked, as we headed inside.
"She's the nutritionist."
"Ah, cool.
Mrs.?"
Williams asked.
"You know where to find her?
This time of day, she should be feeding the little furballs in the children's section. Prepare for cuteness overload."
They both laughed. Mom was up to her elbows in bunnies, gerbils, and hedgehogs. As soon as she saw me, she handed me a bottle and a small spiky mammal.
"Reggie, what are you doing here?"
"Mom, this is Casey Williams and her mom. Mrs. Williams was my favorite teacher,"
Mom finished. Mrs. Williams looked over at me and grinned.
"Yes,"
I admitted.
"I think he had a crush on you, dear,"
Mom confided to her, handing her a small mammal to feed. I started turning pink.
"Casey,"
Mom said, thinking to herself.
"Mom,"
I warned.
"I probably shouldn't tell you this, but Reggie has wanted to ask you out for most of his life."
"Mom!"
"What?"
she asked me, handing Casey a tiny bunny and a dropper filled with milk.
"Why are you handing them animals? They have staff tags on, don't they?"
"Well, yes, because I asked for them so I could tell you something."
"Tell me what, dear?"
"I bought Casey something and I wanted her to show you."
"That's lovely, baby."
"Oh. Are you dating? You wouldn't buy something for a girl you weren't dating, would you? And Mrs. Williams is here."
Casey held out her hand.
"Oh."
She put down her latest patient and lightly clasped Casey's fingers, politely owing and eyeing over the ring.
"Oh. My. Reggie? I asked Casey to marry me?
That's lovely, dear."
She wrapped Casey and the bunny in a hug.
"Oh. Sweetheart. Is he behaving?"
Casey cast a sideways glance to her mother.
"Mrs. Williams. Has my son gotten your daughter into?
What?
No.
No.
the teacher stammered. She put down the animal Mom had given her and wrapped my mom and her daughter in a hug.
He is. Has always been mischievous. And my daughter and I like to give him a hard time back. You asked if he was behaving and well, she's having a bit of fun making the boy squirm a little is all.
Yes.
He is ornery. Came by that, honestly, from both me and his father, I think.
The hugs had ended and Mom was looking for her hungry escapee.
So, when is the wedding?
3 weeks.
I said.
Reggie!
You didn't.
Mom.
She stopped gasping and looked at me. Casey and I have had some very serious conversations and we've done a little heavy petting, but we're waiting until we're married to go any further. We just both feel like we've found the right person and there's not really any reason to wait.
Mom looked at Casey.
I made a spreadsheet, a very thorough spreadsheet.
Reggie scored the highest.
We've gone out a few times. I think he's the one.
A spreadsheet?
She looked at Mrs. Williams.
How very empirical.
I love it.
And Reggie scored the highest?
What were the criteria?
Oh. That's probably too sensitive.
Casey held up fingers as she counted off her top benchmarks. He's never cheated on a girlfriend, and even when the girl turned on him, he never said anything bad.
He's a planner.
He's thorough.
He's clean.
He's playful.
Playful is a nice way of saying it.
That's enough, dear.
I'm so happy for you.
3 weeks.
Wow.
Where?
I don't know.
We haven't really.
Casey stayed.
I wanted to tell you first thing.
I interrupted.
I just bought the ring like an hour ago.
Oh.
Sweetie.
That's so thoughtful.
Thanks for coming.
She gave me a hug and then looked up at my old teacher again.
I assume you approve then?
I like Reggie a lot. He's everything my daughter said and more. He's been a breath of fresh air in the house.
He's very helpful.
Really?
Mom asked.
Oh, yes, well.
Some.
Things hadn't.
Been taken care of since.
Since my husband passed.
Oh. That's right. I'm so sorry.
Reggie's been helping me.
Us.
Casey grinned evilly and jumped in.
Yeah, he's been helping Mom clear out some cobwebs and get the plumbing working again.
Plumbing?
Reggie, I didn't know you knew anything about plumbing.
It was just a clogged pipe.
Casey chalk laughed, tears welling up in her eyes.
Her mother hit her on the back, making it look like she was trying to help her daughter clear a pipe of her own.
Through her tears, Casey said.
And I heard them polishing stuff in the kitchen the other day.
She snort laughed, and continued.
I know Mom was inspecting one of the knobs when they were done to make sure.
She laughed, cried.
To make sure.
Will you stop?
Her mother asked her.
To make sure it was clean.
Casey finally finished, laughing so hard she couldn't breathe. Mom looked at her confused by the chortles and snorts and tears, but smiling in consolation for the poor girl who seemed to have lost her mind. These two kids were probably driving Mrs. Williams crazy.
3 weeks?
Wedding locations?
You know, they've got a pretty gazebo over by the flamingos that some people use for pictures. I think I might have seen a small wedding party over there before.
I looked at Casey, who was still drying her tears with the sleeves of her t-shirt.
She shrugged and half nodded.
We'll think about that.
Do you think we could get a church that soon, or are we going to have to do it outside?
It's June, honey.
It's not that hot yet.
Outdoor weddings are beautiful.
She looked at Casey.
Sorry, hun.
I didn't mean to start.
No.
I appreciate your input. I've always imagined I'd get married in a church because Mom didn't, but it wouldn't be required.
I can call Pastor John.
Mom suggested.
He'll probably want to do a couple counseling sessions, though.
I nudged Casey.
Maybe he can counsel Grandma Williams.
She smirked and shook her head no.
That'd be terrific, Mrs. Mitchell.
She said.
Just let Reggie know what you find out.
I will, dear.
Oh.
I can't believe I'm finally going to have a little girl.
She wrapped Casey in a hug and then started collecting up the mostly fed animals that she'd handed to everyone.
You two did well. You can stop by and help anytime.
Thanks, Mrs. Mitchell.
Casey said, smiling.
Please call me Maggie, honey.
Mom told her.
Can I call you Mom instead?
Mom wrapped her in another hug.
That would be lovely, dear heart.
As we got ready to leave, I told Mom.
Benny Frank said to tell you hi, Dot.
You took Casey there?
She looked over to my fiancé, who nodded.
What did you think?
It was amazing.
I know.
I've been trying to go vegan, but then I get a craving for one of Benny's monsters and well, that's that.
She turned to me.
Cindy have a boyfriend yet?
Mom!
Casey chimed in.
I'm working on that as well as a girlfriend for Nick.
Ah, yes.
What a sweetie.
Good girl.
The animal nutritionist fist-bumped the cheerleader and then turned to give the science teacher a hug.
If Reggie misbehaves, I'll use my teacher voice and send him to the principal's office for detention.
Mom pulled back to look at my mother-in-law lover.
You are so beautiful. Your daughter is gorgeous and smart. I do hope Reggie is treating both of you like queens.
Mrs. Williams hugged her again.
I truly cannot tell you how helpful Reggie has been.
Good.
Good.
Turning to me, she said.
You need to listen to this woman and do everything she tells you.
I pulled her into a hug.
I'm trying.
Some days you are very trying.
Mom!
Go!
I'll call Pastor John over my lunch hour and let you know what he says.
Thanks, Mom!
And I mean it,
she said, looking at the two women I loved.
You can come visit me here anytime. Keep the passes. Nobody ever checks the dates anyway. Thanks, Mrs. Mitchell,
Casey said, waving, as we headed for the exit. No sooner had we gotten outside than Mrs. Williams delivered a healthy swat to her daughter's ass. Casey laughed hysterically and took off running down the path. When she let us catch up, I took her hand and walked on her left. Her mom grabbed my other hand and the three of us walked side by side. I took them past the gazebo on the way out so they could see it and the area around it. Honestly, I was a little worried about what the animals would do with several people in the area. The peacocks were only mildly irritating most of the time, but the ducks and the geese could be downright cantankerous. Casey seemed to agree with my assessment, so we decided to see what Pastor John said. It was close enough to lunchtime that I drove us to one of my favorite food trucks at the edge of the park. Mrs. Williams argued that since I'd spent most of my life savings buying jewelry earlier in the day, she would be paying for lunch. My chicken tacos were fabulous. The ladies seemed to be pretty happy with their choices as well. We each picked a flavor of Jarritos to go with our food. After Mrs. Williams had taken a couple sips of her grapefruit one, I asked her for the bottle. I took it back to the truck and paid the man to add a half shot of tequila to it. On the way back, I sloshed it around gently to mix it up.
Try it now,
I told her, handing it back.
Oh. Shit.
She gasped after a drink.
What did you do?
Casey asked.
I turned it into an energy drink.
I laughed.
Energy drink, my ass.
My MILF lover giggled.
He turned it into a margarita.
She threw her arms around me and kissed me hard on the mouth. I could taste the alcohol. It must have been pretty strong. I looked over at the guy in the taco truck. He was giving me a thumbs up. I laughed and waved.
You want one?
I asked Casey, confident that I could get her one without any trouble. She thought about it for a minute and said,
I'd better not. As good as mom's feeling, I'd probably forget my promise about waiting 3 weeks.
Oh, I said, jumping up.
I'll be right back.
She laughed and grabbed my arm, pulling me back down onto the grass for a hug and a kiss. When we arrived back home, I got out and opened the car door for the ladies, intending to say my goodbyes and be on my way several hours later than I normally left. Mrs. Williams was a little handsy, however, from the buzz of the alcohol, and it was all Casey could do to keep her from groping me in the driveway for all of the neighbors to see. She herded her mother and me inside the house. The trail of clothing led from the front door to the couch where my hot ass, former science teacher, lay, sprawled her arms, breasts, knees, and labia spread wide.
Reggie! I need you!
She cooed.
I've got a pipe for you to unclog with your eel.
She giggled. I looked at her daughter.
My bed. Naked.
I raised my eyebrows.
I'm going to get some kisses and play with your nipples while mom fucks herself silly on your willy if she can find the damn thing. I'm not drunk.
Her mother argued, already getting up to make her way to the designated fucking zone. For the next half hour, I was in fucking heaven literally. I laid on my back with my cock buried in my future mother-in-law and my tongue in the mouth of my future wife. Casey made out with me caressing my face, gripping my ears, teasing my nipples, and running her fingers through my pubic hair while her mother fucked the loving shit out of me. She may not have been drunk, but her senses were dulled enough that her climaxes were slower coming, and I was struggling to keep from nutting in her before she even got her first orgasm. Occasionally, her face would intrude and fight with her daughter to give me kisses. I've gotta tell you that Casey's kisses were already damn near lethal, but having the two of them fight over my mouth.
Fuck.
And the kisses were nut-wrenching. I struggled to figure out what to do with my hands. I wanted to run my fingers through Casey's hair, pulling her mouth tighter onto my own and palm her mother's gorgeous breasts. I ended up just leaving my left hand to wander across Mrs. Williams' body, pinching, pulling, and caressing every part one could reach. My right hand held my fiancé to my face. I wanted to be fucking her right now, not that her mother was, without a doubt, the best fuck I'd ever had in my life, but I was ready to be with Casey to make her mind to worship her. I could tell the tipsy teacher was finally getting close and thumbed her clit, drawing little circles. Her body started trembling. She tried to pull my hands to her hips, but I kept the one on Casey. My lovely bride-to-be teased my tongue with her own and pinched my right nipple hard. My left hand grabbed my lover's hip, and the sounds of our slippery sexes slapping together filled the room. My cheerleader girlfriend kissed me hard, taking away my breath, and my brain imploded and I started fountaining mushroom nectar into the sexiest academic in the world, her mother. I think I might have blacked out. When I came to again, my lap was wet from my lover's discharge, and Casey was holding my face in her hand, lifting my eyelids to look at my pupils. She laughed and said,
"You back?"
Beside me, her sexy-ass mother cuddled against my body.
"What did I miss?"
I asked.
"Mom riding you to a second orgasm, which she sprayed all over you while cussing like a sailor."
"So," I said groggily,
"the usual?"
She laughed.
"Yeah,
the usual." She gave me a kiss and climbed on top of me. I looked down. She was still clothed.
"You're gonna be a sticky mess."
"Oh, she got me, you, and half the room. She should be good for an hour or two at least." I laughed, still a little sleepy. Casey wrapped her arms around me and gave me some kisses that had my head buzzing, well, actually both heads.
"That's probably not a good idea,"
I warned.
"Really? You gonna pop that bitch back up and fuck my holes? Oh, baby, you're playing with fire."
"Fine," she complained, giving me one more unholy kiss and climbing off. She held out her hand and helped me to my feet.
"Shower?"
she asked.
"Together?"
I clarified. She bit her lower lip. I wrapped her face in my hands and kissed that lip and again. You said I couldn't see? I'm keeping my clothes on. She stated. Kinky. I laughed. I think you're still playing with fire here. Risk it for a biscuit. I'll bet your biscuit is mouthwatering. Come on, stud. Let's get you cleaned up so you can go home and figure out where you're taking me Friday night. I have to wait another whole week to see you. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. She said, grinning evilly. Absence fills my trash can with sticky tissues. I replied. You kept that picture? Of course, although I'm getting pretty good at just picturing your tight pussy in my head. You haven't seen my pussy. She accused. It's tight, I know it is, and it tastes like honey. She pulled me into the shower and turned on the water. I watched as the cascading spray wetted her entire body, her hair, her shirt, her shorts. I've always been turned on by girls with wet hair. I'm not sure what it is, but it's so hot, and this girl was smoking before she was wet. I met her under the steaming jet and made love to her mouth with my own. This girl, this woman, this bride, my heart. I was lost.
Reggie!
What?
I lost you again, silly.
Stop doing that. I was just thinking about you, about how beautiful you are, about how much I love you, about how we're going to be married.
You're such a dweeb.
You're right. This was a bad idea. Stand still while I clean your ass up. My wet, sexy, bride-to-be scrubbed me all over. She was a little naughty on my ass crack, but she was almost clinical on my dick and nuts. I think she was worried she'd start something.
Honestly?
I was already rock hard from just looking at her.
Out. You're done.
I tried the puppy dog eyes. She pulled me out of the shower and started toweling me off. I let her. When she was done, she led me to the bedroom, her bedroom, where her mother was snoring on the bed, still covered in fluids that were some of hers and some of mine. Goodbyes. We got downstairs and out the door before my phone chimed with a text from Mom, saying that Pastor John would marry us, at the church, in 3 weeks, if we met him for an hour each of the next two Saturdays at 10 o'clock in the morning. I showed the text to Casey and she nodded.
Should we go ahead and set the time for the wedding? 2 o'clock or 10?
2. Mom will want breakfast one last time before she has to start sharing you. I replied to Mom's text to tell her the plan. Do you need to see the church? I asked.
It'll be fine. It'll just be family. I'll ask Nick to stand up with me. I'll call my cousin and Cindy. I guess I need another guy. Let me think about that. I may have another cousin that would fit Cindy.
I raised an eyebrow at her.
She kissed me.
Start planning for Friday night.
She said, hugging me.
Then you can sleep over, give Mom her breakfast, and we'll go visit with the minister.
She groped my half-hard cock and gave me another kiss. A familiar Lincoln Continental cruised by and she waved at her grandparents' car, pulling me into a hug.
Looks like you're going to get that visit, after all.
I said.
We'll see.
Casey replied.
I think she's just spying. Do you need me to stay?
No.
Go plan our date.
How about an escape room?
I'll bring Nick and another guy. You bring your cousin and Cindy.
Should we invite the moms?
Yes on everybody else, no on the moms.
Let's get the wedding party together and see how they gel.
I like that.
I gave her a quick peck.
I cannot wait to give myself to you.
I told her.
I thought that was supposed to be my line.
She laughed, wrinkling an eyebrow at me.
She gave me another kiss and opened the car door.
Trying to get rid of me already?
I'm sure my mother will be waking up soon and she'll find some reason for you to stick around.
She said, smirking.
I gave her one last kiss and hopped in. She waved as I headed down the street.
I left their subdivision and got 2 blocks away before being pulled over by a squad car.
What seems to be the trouble, officer?
I asked. I had already removed my seatbelt, gotten out of the car, closed the door, and leaned up against the side.
We got a tip that an impaired driver was operating this vehicle.
Really? I said, seeing a Lincoln Continental approaching a few blocks away over his shoulder.
Can I search your car?
No need to, officer.
Why's that, son?
He asked.
I'm pretty sure you can smell my breath and you've already seen me driving and you're listening to me talk all with no signs of inebriation.
And?
I happen to be able to tell you who called that tip in. She's in the white Lincoln Continental that's approaching from the east.
Stepping 2 paces back, he glanced to his right and then back to me, checking to see if I had moved.
At this point, Mrs. Williams, who was driving the car alone, was half a block away.
I checked behind me and seeing no other traffic stood in the middle of the road. She tried to go around me and I moved to block her.
She finally stopped.
I whipped open the passenger door and said,
"This nice police officer wants to know why you filed a bogus report."
"I did no such thing."
"Bullshit. You couldn't get me to stay away from Casey and now you're wasting the police's time by calling in false information. You know you can go to jail for that shit, right?"
"What?
Ma'am?"
the officer said, leaning down to look at the bitter bitch.
"He's lying.
I didn't call you."
The officer looked back and forth between the two of us.
"Tell him how you know me."
I said.
"Why?"
"Tell him. This boy has been bothering my granddaughter. We're engaged to be married."
I told him.
"This woman doesn't like me. Earlier this week, she ordered a pizza from the place I work as an excuse to drag me to her house and then tried to claim she didn't order the pie, just like she's claiming she didn't call you."
"I didn't."
"Earlier, you said you needed to talk to Casey. You just drove by when I was telling her goodbye. If you need to talk to her so badly, why aren't you there instead of prowling past this completely random traffic stop to see if the tip you called in would get me into trouble?"
"It wasn't me."
The officer stepped forward and motioned for me to scoot back. I walked over to my car and leaned against it once more.
Ma'am, dispatch gave me your address. Do you have an excuse for why you're here? You don't live anywhere near this location.
I was going to see my granddaughter.
To talk to her?
Yes.
Is she home right now?
I don't. She looked over at me.
I don't know.
I am going to suggest, Mrs. Williams, that you find someplace else to be, he told her. And that you stay away from this young man. If your granddaughter has concerns, she can call the office anytime.
But,
ma'am, this is the last time I'm going to make a suggestion. After that,
well,
things will happen that will require paperwork.
And,
ma'am?
Yes?
I hate paperwork.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going home. Have a nice day.
You too, ma'am.
He closed the door. She pulled away.
I'm really sorry you got tied up in this,
I told him. He started laughing.
What?
That was gonna be my line. I'm marrying into this family. I chose this fight. You were just trying to get through your shift.
Ain't that the truth?
He sighed. He pulled out a business card and handed it to me.
I'm going to scribble some notes into a report. I certainly hope that I never have to hear from you again, but if you need anything, please call.
I nodded.
If you need, say, a coroner, he said, smiling slyly.
Under no circumstances should you call me.
If,
I promised him,
I'm around when the old biddy keels over, I will have multiple witnesses to testify that I was in no way involved.
He laughed again.
What?
I asked, chuckling in spite of myself.
That just means there's more than one person to be investigated.
I held out my hand.
Thanks.
Sorry. He took it and said,
good luck, kid.
She seems like a handful. As you can see, I'm not scared to call her bluff. She may have my future wife and my mother-in-law shaking in their boots, but I've only known her for a couple weeks and I guarantee you I'm not putting up with her shit. I'll pack them up and move them out of state.
That might be a plan worth looking into, son.
The wedding's in 3 weeks, surely, we can make it that long.
She gonna be there?
She's kind of invited her husband's giving their granddaughter away.
Call me. I'll stop by.
You don't have to. It'll probably save a 911 call. Just text me the location and the time and your name.
All right, thanks.
No problem.
Stay safe, kid.
Thank you, sir. He got into his car and pulled away. I got into mine, put my Bluetooth earpiece in, and called Casey telling her the whole story as I headed home. Wedding planning. Pastor John caught me after the service to let me know that we'd be meeting in his office Saturday at 10 o'clock the next 2 weeks, and that he'd penciled us in the church calendar for a 7 o'clock Friday rehearsal and a 2 o'clock wedding on Saturday, the week after that. I texted Casey and told her. She said she hadn't thought about the rehearsal either. Once I was home, I decided it was time to call Dad.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, Squirt.
Did Mom tell you I'm getting married?
He laughed.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I should have called you sooner. Sounds like you've been busy. You've been dating what, like 2 weeks?
It seems like longer, but yeah, I guess.
Mom said you seem to mesh well.
That's good.
Find a girl who makes you a better person.
I thought about that for a second.
Casey's smart and goal-oriented, she'll probably have me working my ass off.
That's good. I'll try to make it to the wedding. I need to talk to my dispatcher and see if I can get that weekend free.
Call Grandma Mitchell. She'll want to be there.
All right.
You doing okay?
Horns and brake lights like always.
Heading into construction.
Gotta go.
Love you.
Love you too. I decided I might as well get this done before I got busy and forgot.
Hey, GMA.
Reggie. What's my favorite grandson up to?
You coming to play Uno soon?
I'm getting married, Grandma, 2 weeks from Saturday.
Married?
Gosh almighty.
Are you even 18 yet?
You sent me a birthday card with $18 in it, Grandma.
I know.
I know.
So young. Is she pretty?
Yes.
Is she smart?
Yes, Grandma.
Is she a good kisser?
Grandma.
Can you bring her for a visit?
I'll make cookies and we can play Uno.
I'll ask her, Grandma.
Hang on.
I texted Casey.
Dad's mom wants us to come over.
When's good?
She replied.
Today works.
How about this afternoon? I asked my grandmother.
Does she like meatloaf?
I've got one in the crockpot as we speak.
I was going to have some for dinner and freeze the leftovers, but I'd rather share.
Bring her for dinner.
I texted Casey.
Dinner, meatloaf and mashed potatoes, plus cookie baking plus Uno?
Sure.
5 o'clock? I asked Grandma.
That'll be perfect, dear.
I'll boil some potatoes too, then.
You like lots of butter, right?
Yes.
Thanks, Grandma.
See you in a while.
Love you, Reggie.
Love you, Grandma.
I texted Kays.
I'll pick you up at 4:15.
I'll be ready.
Casual?
I don't know.
I always just wear a shirt and shorts.
Love you.
Thanks for doing this.
Don't be silly, silly.
She sounds wonderful. A few hours later, I pulled into the driveway of number 24 and waited. In seconds, Casey came bounding out and jumped and sliding over next to me to snuggle close.
Oh.
Mom said to show you this. She unlocked her phone to flash me a picture of her mom's gorgeous globes, spectacularly naked, of course.
She didn't want to text in case Grandma Williams is checking our phones somehow.
Tell her I think I see a cobweb or two, but otherwise, it looks okay. Casey cackled and texted her mom and then deleted the picture. She howled even louder when her mom texted back, but she wouldn't show me what she'd said. I pulled up to grandma's 5 minutes early and Casey slid out with me, gave me a hug and kiss, and held my hand as we walked to the door. Grandma already had it open for us.
Reggie! You didn't tell me she was beautiful!
I said she was pretty, when you asked.
Dear, she's not pretty, she's gorgeous.
Turning to Casey, opening her arms for a hug, she said.
Welcome, dear.
Hello, Mrs. Mitchell. It's nice to meet you.
F.A.
You call me Grandma or I'll find a switch and use it on this no-good husband of yours. Casey laughed.
Okay, Grandma.
Grandma leaned in, conspiratorially, and admitted.
I'm all bark, dear. I never even used a switch on his father. He turned out okay except that he never comes to visit.
Casey giggled. Wrapping an arm around my fiancé, she steered her to the kitchen where she had the four-person table set for three. We all ate more than we should have and then we baked chocolate chip cookies 2 whole trays. We played Uno while spoiling ourselves on ice-cold milk and cookies that were still warm enough to fold over like Salvador Dali clocks. I lost every game. Grandma and Casey were pretty competitive. I just played for fun. Most of the night was filled with questions, advice, and happy stories, but there was about 15 minutes where my bride-to-be laughed so hard that she'd fallen off of her chair and laid on the kitchen floor holding her sides. When Grandma found out who Casey's grandmother was and we told her a couple stories, Grandma Mitchell informed us that Casey's grandmother had been a bitter hag since birth and that if she hadn't spent half of her time in high school trying to shove larger and larger items up her twat, she probably could have found a better husband than Harold Williams, who had a fondness for trying to get girls to let him fuck them in the ass with his donkey dick. After letting that slip, Grandma had blushed, crimson, and refused to talk about either of them anymore, so we'd gone back to playing Uno and enjoying her treats and company. By the time we headed home, Grandma had given us a sheet of paper with all of the names we'd come up with for the invitation list, a dozen sandwich-sized Ziplocs with 4 cookies each to be handed out like Christmas gifts, and all the kisses and hugs we could handle. Casey was enamored with Grandma, and my dad's mom seemed to be pretty darn happy with my choice of marriage partners. She assured us she wouldn't miss the wedding for the world. Back at number 24, I walked my fiancé to the door where my mother-in-law mewed until I leaned inside the doorway, gave her kisses and briefly groped her cleavage before kissing my bride-to-be goodnight. Casey texted me a picture of the invite list as I drove home. I had more people to call or text than I had expected. For a ceremony with just family, this was turning into more than I'd bargained for. Monday morning, I started through my list beginning with Nick and Paul. Paul was a PC nerd who'd been one of the few to act like he'd enjoyed working the concession stand when the computer club had to take a turn. I thought he might be a good fit for Cindy. He was geeky but practical and down-to-earth. Several hours later, my list was done once I'd finished answering the phone calls and texts that resulted from sending.
Hey! I'm getting married 2 weeks from Saturday.
I dumped out my pants pockets to do laundry and found the police officer's business card. I sent him the location and time for the wedding, along with my name. 10 minutes later, he replied.
Just to let you know, the computer recorded the caller ID of your antagonistic in-law's cell phone for that tip the other day. I added a note to my report.
Escape. On Friday night, I picked up Paul and Nick and met the girls at the Great Escape. After introductions where I got to meet Casey's cousin, Natalie, for the first time we headed inside to pick which room we wanted to do. Overall, we did pretty well, only needing a couple hints from the game master. Everybody contributed in some way, and we escaped the room with 3 minutes to spare. It was still pretty early, but we were ready to eat and tried to settle on a place to go. Cindy didn't want to go to her workplace on her one night off, so Benny's was out. We were having trouble picking something everybody could agree on. Finally, they decided they wanted pizzas, but nothing with a dining room was open. Nick offered his place, so we headed there. On the way, I called Pops and ordered the pies, giving them his address. Like the classic geek, Nick lived in his mom's basement, but that's where the cliche ended. He had a full apartment with a complete kitchen, and he was busy turning half of the basement into a theater with lounge chair seating. Natalie took one look at his setup and ran back out to Casey's car to grab her equipment. She helps her dad with audio and video systems, and since Casey had picked her up straight from work, she had all of her gear. She set up a tripod with a 360 camera and sent a picture scan thing to her tablet. She punched a few buttons and it told her where to reposition the seating to and how to set up the speakers to get the audio and video perfect. I think I saw Nick drooling. He might even have been looking at Natalie at the time. Cindy and Paul were tasked with making popcorn while Casey and I ran to get more drinks. We caught the delivery guy as he pulled up. Natalie and Nick were lost in some anime discussion, so I grabbed an old Monty Python's Flying Circus and threw it in the player. Everyone was so busy talking that I'm not sure any of us even watched the recording. A couple hours later, we said our goodbyes to Nick and headed out the door. Both of the guys had phone numbers for the girls we picked for them, so I thought it went pretty well. I dropped Paul off and stopped by my house to grab my overnight bag before heading to number 24 Mulberry, where I pulled in just as Casey was getting out of her car. Expecting her mother to pounce on me as soon as we were inside, I stepped up, took her in my arms, and spent a little time showing her how much I loved her. After a lengthy, steamy lip lock, I glanced out of the corner of my eye to spy her mother, standing in the doorway, tapping her foot impatiently. Casey saw my glance, looked over, laughed, and pulled me in for another breath stealer.
Please!
I heard Mrs. Williams imploring. Casey pulled my face to hers and waited for me to look into her eyes. She whispered,
I almost gave in last week. I loved it, but my self-control is slipping. I need to be careful.
She kissed me but kept my face in her hands. I'm going to bed. Help mother with the cobwebs and I'll see you in the morning.
She kissed me, once more, and took my hand, escorting me into the house and the waiting arms of her nude matron. Without another word, the bare, naked lady of the house grabbed my hand and dragged me up the stairs and into her bedroom. She took me to the foot of the bed, pulled my pants and underwear to my knees, shoved me backwards, and climbed on top of me to skewer herself with my rigid rod. She grabbed my hands, pulled them to her marvelous mounds, and held them there as she fucked my meat in and out of her perfectly pink pussy. I fondled her breasts, and enjoyed her ministrations waiting for her to get her first orgasm, which was, obviously, preventing clarity of thought. She had been in a hurry before, but this was the first time I'd had sex while being nearly fully clothed. Not that it wasn't good, and not that my lover wasn't one of the most beautiful women in the world, but I wanted to be a little more actively involved. Soon enough, she was moaning and getting louder, and I knew she was close. She trembled and shuddered and collapsed forward, onto me, to grab my face and shower me with kisses.
"I've missed you," she said. "I could tell."
I laughed, reaching down to fondle her ass.
"Mmm,"
she moaned.
"I like that."
"Me too," I said, giving her a kiss on her perfect mouth, which turned into a Pokemon-sized collection of kisses.
"You better now?"
I asked her.
"A little."
"Can you get undressed and hold me like this?
I need to feel you."
She rolled to my left and crawled across the bed to lay her head on the pillows watching me strip. There was no primal urgency in her gaze, but I could tell she was restless. Naked as the day I was born, I walked to the side of the bed. She pulled back the covers. Once I was in place, she climbed into my arms, laying sideways on top of me, and pulled the sheet and blanket over us. I wrapped my arms around her and nuzzled her neck.
"Reggie?"
"Yes, beautiful."
"I love you."
"I love you too." The words came without hesitation.
"Is this going to work?"
she asked me.
"I think so."
"I'm scared," she admitted.
"That Casey will want me for herself?"
"Yes.
It's a risk. However, your daughter is highly logical and almost painfully hard-headed about keeping promises."
"She did promise." I nodded and kissed her neck and nibbled the bottom of her ear just where it met her neck.
"Did you really have a crush on me?
You caught that, huh?"
"Yes."
She finally smiled. I had begun to get worried.
"Every straight male who sees you stops to look a second time. Any who ask you to repeat what you said are doing so because they got so brain-bashed by your gorgeous face and body that they've lost track of what you were saying."
She smiled and I continued. "Kimberly Clark's best-selling brand is Kleenex, just from all of the guys who buy boxes and boxes to replace the ones they used to clean themselves up after jerking off to the image of you they've held in their minds for hours, if not days.
You're such a suckass.
Didn't Casey say Principal Douchebag was sending you flowers?
Hell.
I swore he was gay."
"Yes.
And old man Jenkins ran to the janitor closet to beat his meat every time he saw you in the hallway.
That's a little hard to believe.
Ask anybody. Or check the graffiti in the boys' restroom." She turned her head to look at me, finally deciding to give up the argument. She gave me a kiss and turned her head back to let me nibble her ear some more.
"If I tell you something,"
she asked.
"Do you promise not to tell anyone? Even Casey?"
"She already knows."
"I promise. I've had dirty thoughts about students before."
"Oh? I'll just say that I was very happy when your name sorted to the top of Casey's spreadsheet.
I'm.
Wow. She turned her body sideways to face me. Her ample breasts rubbed against my chest. It wasn't the friction of our bodies touching that threatened to make my heart melt, but it didn't hurt. She pulled her knees up a little, bumping them against my ribs, and tucked her feet into my sides just above my hips. Her feverish sex was pressed against my pubes. My achingly hard cock was bumping against her labia as she hunched her quim against my body, lightly stroking herself along the top of my rod. She eased her hips up and I felt the tender lips of her pussy cuddle the ridge of my distended cockhead. She stopped, and then slid back down again to rest herself on my body. I wanted to grab her hips and pound my cock into her tight channel, but she was still hugging my upper body, so I kept holding her. Again, she raised up and again she teased me and came back down to rest her twat against me. Once more, she repeated it. After the fourth time, I cleared my throat to ask her what she was doing.
"Am I driving you crazy?"
she asked.
"You know you are."
She did it again, pausing at the top to make me think she might relent, and plunge my raging meat inside of her fuckhole.
"Poor, poor Reggie,"
she said, brushing her quim down my length once more, resting her pussy against the front of my pelvis. I started to move my arms, but she said,
"No,"
and then bit down on the edge of my jaw. This time, when she raised up, she lifted her pussy high enough for the head of my cock to nudge against her slippery entrance. I prayed for deliverance. She hunched her pelvis forward and slowly plowed my aching cock into her tight wetness. My arms were locked around her, holding on for dear life, and I heard myself whimper at the glorious relief of finally having her blessed friction stimulating every surface of my painful hard-on. Slowly, her experienced, powerful pussy claimed my manhood. When I was fully seated inside of her glory and her taint brushed my testicles, the levee broke. I whimpered again as my penis started blasting jet after jet of cock sauce into my mother-in-law. She held still until the final drop had left my body searching for her egg. She released her bite but trapped my lips in a soul-sucking kiss. She held me, captive, as she slowly raised and lowered her hips. Every stroke in and out rung up and down my meat, squeezing it, milking it, searching for one last drop of my seed. Her breathing was heavier. I had come so hard that I felt empty, but still her body wanted more.
I felt my sticky spunk inside of her trying to escape as she slowly fucked herself on my delirious dick, moaning louder and louder with each stroke. She ground her sexy slit up and down on my penis a dozen times, her arms gripping my body tighter and tighter and her breath growing ragged. Finally, she stopped kissing me and laid her head, sideways, on my chest. She hunched her pussy onto my stiff rod one last time and her body tensed and then started shaking. I kissed the top of her head and held her tightly as she came hard, her pussy squirting a little at the end.
Chapter 04
Saturday. I woke up again, in a cozy bed that was not my own. The room was, once more, bathed in sparkling sunlight. When I opened my eyes, however, it wasn't my former science teacher looking at me but her gorgeous daughter. She smiled.
"Hey,"
I said, smiling back.
"Hey."
The sunlight made her hair glow and her crystal blue eyes looked like sparkling gemstones. "I could get used to waking up like this," I said, grinning.
"That's a little surprising to hear, considering I'm usually finishing my cereal to the slurping sounds of my mother using her filthy mouth to vacuum every available drop of semen from your body via your pecker. I'd like to peck you. 2 more weeks.
I nibbled on the edge of my lower lip and she scooted forward to kiss me there. I wrapped my arms around her and tried to show her how much I loved her. Within a couple minutes, she had the palms of her hands on my shoulders pushing me away.
"Easy, tiger. I thought I could sneak in here and have a little peaceful cuddling without risking sexual assault, but I see, now, that that only works as long as you're snoring."
I set my palms to my chest, fingers spread wide, and mimed my best.
"Who me?"
look of innocence. She giggled but climbed off of the bed.
"Come on. Mom's sulking because I ran her off before you could wake up to give her breakfast. She's probably naked on the couch, waiting for you to fill her belly with your man milk."
I took the proffered hand, stood, and brought her fingers to my mouth for a kiss.
"Not happening, Romeo."
She giggled.
"Let's go."
She darted out of the door and down the hall, bounding down the stairs like it was Christmas morning.
"What are you two doing?"
I heard her mother ask her.
"He's trying to molest me,"
my future bride complained, loudly. By the time I arrived, her mother was giving me the teacher scowl.
"Eat your breakfast and then give me my dessert. When we're done with that, we'll get cleaned up and go help your mom feed the cuties."
My libido calmed a little when my lover mentioned my mother, but as soon as my food was gone and the bowls and spoons were in the dishwasher, she started undressing me. The sex-drunk libido was back. My balls were churning once again. Casey sat in her usual chair, scrolling through something on her tablet, glancing over at us occasionally. Her mother moved an ottoman, laid me from the couch across the footstool with my feet on the floor. Resting my head and shoulders on the couch, I watched as she gave me a little striptease, my manhood rising to the occasion. The show didn't last all that long because, as usual, she was naked under her housewarming, but she was amazing to look at. Every part of this beautiful woman turned me on. When I wasn't stiff from feasting with my eyes, I was hard from her saying vulgar things about wanting to be bred. She walked over, stood on either side of the ottoman, and lowered her body onto mine, impaling herself on my tent pole.
"Mmm,"
she moaned. I reached for her hips, but she swatted my hands. Casey looked up from her tablet and laughed. "This woman was gorgeous when she was naked, but I have to tell you, she looks even more amazing when she's got your cock buried inside of her." Her body wasn't moving. Her weight was resting on her thighs as she half-squatted over me. Outside, she was still, unmoving. Inside, however, the muscles up and down the length of her molten channel gripped and grabbed at my needy cock.
"Fuck,"
I gasped. She leaned forward, gripping my upper waist, her thumbs digging into the sides of my belly. I would have complained, but she was starting to move up and down, and her fabulous pussy was all I could think about. Up and back down. Circle a little. Up and down. Circle. Circle. Circle.
Fuck.
Up and back down. Up and back down. Circle. Circle. Circle.
Fuck.
She was killing me. She delighted in making me wait and stretching our love making out. I just wanted to smash our bodies together until we came. She just wanted to torture me. I reached for her again and she caught my hands, crossed them over my chest, and leaned forward onto them, trapping them against my body. My lower half was all I could move, but I knew better. I was already on probation for trying to grab her. I'm not even sure if I was reaching for her mommy-sized memories or her childbearing hips. I laid still and prayed she'd let me come soon. Up and down. Circle. Up and down. Circle. Circle. Up and down. Circle. Up and down. Circle. Circle.
Fuck.
She grinned at me, the sadistic bitch, the beautiful, sensuous. Fuck, she was hot. Up and down. Circle. Up and down. Circle. Up and down. Circle. 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 Up and down. Up and down. Up and down. Fuck. I was so close. Circle. 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 I groaned. Casey snickered at me. Looking at her mother, she said,
"You're evil."
I couldn't stand it anymore. I rolled and pushed and succeeded in getting her to lose her balance and tumble off of me to the floor. I pounced like a tiger on fresh meat. I don't know how instinctively, I guess, but as I landed on top of her body, my cock drove straight into her tightness, drilling as deeply as it could go. She gasped a little, either from the change in position, or my dick pumping the air out of her body as it filled her. I held her hands over her head and stared into her eyes, those wicked, beautiful eyes. I pounded my cock into her. There was no lovemaking. There was no sex. There was no merging of two into one. I needed to fuck. I needed to come. I needed to fill this tease, this seductress, this succubus. I needed to fill her, to breed her, to own her. I rutted with her like a wild animal. I felt spittle pooling at the corner of my mouth as I did nothing but focus on slamming my cock in and out of her fuckbox. I expected to see fear or alarm in her eyes, but if anything I saw a reflection of the feral lust that I knew burned in my own. Her body tensed, thrummed, squirted, and still I pounded into her. My orgasm was coming. It was a tidal wave, a tsunami. It was going to carry me away when it arrived. I rushed to meet it. My cock was smashing in and out of her sex so hard that I could feel the carpet chafing my ballsack. It didn't matter. Nothing else mattered. My orgasm was coming. That was the only thing that mattered. When it hit, my body went rigid. Only my testes, my ductus deferens, and my urethra were working, expelling the seed from my body with as much force as they could muster. I was frozen. My teacher lover fucked herself up onto my stationary stem, reaching for her next orgasm. Her climax arrived when she felt my fiery seed splash against her womb. She clung to me. When it was over, I was hollow, empty, exhausted. I collapsed forward onto her body, the last drops of my semen oozing inside of her. I couldn't move. I could barely breathe. She hugged me and kissed me and wrapped her legs around my waist, encouraging all of my potent seed to remain safely inside of her. "You're playing with fire, mother," Casey laughed. "It was perfect. I came so hard and still he pounded me," she cooed. "The last one was just icing on the cake," Casey laughed. "I think I see a little icing trying to escape, Mom. Sorry," I mumbled to my sexy lover as I attempted to lift some of my weight off of her. She clung harder to me, pulling me back down again. "You're right where I want you, handsome. I owe you a little rest for pushing you that hard. I'm surprised I didn't pass out," I admitted. "I came so hard," Mrs. Williams laughed. "Too bad I'm not ovulating right now, that might have done the trick." I glanced over at Casey to see what she thought of the idea of me knocking her mother up with her little brother or sister. She was smiling, seemingly happy that I'd been able to give her mother what she wanted. Or maybe she was just happy that I wouldn't be trying to hump her leg for an hour or two. I looked into the face of the beautiful woman, the temptress who had turned me feral for a few moments. "You're still evil, but you're so fucking gorgeous." I kissed her lips, her eyes, her cheeks, and her nose and her lips again. She finally let me climb off of her. Taking my hand, she said, "Come on, stud. Let's go get a shower." The two of us walked naked up the stairs. I played with and sucked her titties a little beneath the steamy spray, but otherwise we got our business done and got out of there. An hour later, we were helping Mom feed the baby mammals again, each of us arguing that our little critter patient was the cutest one of the bunch. Mrs. Williams had not forgotten our promise to take her to Benny's the following Friday, and she invited Mom along. Mom was more than happy to help chaperone and get her hands on one of Benny's sinful burgers. I told her we'd leave our place at 5, grab the girls, maybe go play putt-putt or something, and then finish up wrangling one of Benny's meat monsters. When all of the critters were fed, we gave Mom hugs and headed back home. We dropped Mrs. Williams off and left for the church, getting to Pastor John's office just before our scheduled time. He talked to us about finances, relating that money was the biggest cause of breakups. He also talked about not basing a relationship on lust or even love. He didn't really ask a lot of questions, just gave us some stuff to think about. Before we knew it, the hour was up. He shook our hands and we headed out. In the car, Casey and I checked our phones. She had a message from Natalie and I had one from Nick. Neither of us were quite clear on the details of who had invited whom and under what premise, but Natalie had ended up at Nick's where they watched anime, ate pizza, and talked. They hadn't kissed, hadn't touched, other than sitting next to each other, but they chatted until late and slept at opposite ends of the couch, clothed, and then went to IHOP for breakfast. They both seemed pretty excited about their new relationship and were happy to take things slowly. Cindy, meanwhile, was texting Casey asking her if she'd ever had a boy suck her clit. Paul, apparently, had been doing some serious internet research into how to make a girl fall in love with you, and he was trying everything he'd read on our favorite burger waitress. Based on the text I got from Paul, Cindy had enjoyed his honest efforts well enough that she had reciprocated. Paul said it was the most amazing thing ever. I got an email that fall registration had opened for the community college that Casey and I would be attending. I stopped by the house and grabbed my laptop. When we got to her house, Casey ran upstairs to grab her computer. We sat down at the breakfast bar and started figuring out what we were doing. I'd already talked to my counselor, as had Case, so we had the list of the classes we needed to take, but now we had to turn that list into an actual schedule. We both needed composition, so our plan was to take that together, if we could work it out. As a starting point, we planned to get all of our classes out of the way before lunch, which left the afternoon for work, homework, and errands. The software class I wanted only had one session in the morning, same deal with my hardware class. I had two choices for Spanish, one for calculus, and one for physics, which had a Tuesday/Thursday lab in the evening. Mac wasn't going to be happy about that, but at least it wasn't our busy nights. Casey had taken 2 years of French in high school but decided to try Spanish so we could have another class together. It would also give us the advantage of having a practice partner that we already knew. By the time we were done, we were able to be together for composition, Spanish, calculus, and physics, including, obviously, the lab. I felt a lot better about my chances of surviving college-level science classes if I could depend on Casey and her mom to help me through the harder parts. Casey was in chemistry when I was in software development and engineering disciplines when I was in systems architecture. Neither of us were looking forward to taking history classes, so for now anyway, we had pushed those back to our sophomore year. Mrs. Williams hung over my shoulder and groped my crotch about halfway through our task, but Casey ran her off. She retreated to the couch and pretended to read a magazine. It was obvious she wasn't really looking at the thing because she was holding it upside down. When Casey pointed that out, she threw it down in a huff and stomped up the stairs. Casey cackled in laughter. I tried to hold it in but ended up busting up as well. Once our classes were scheduled, we applied for whatever aid and scholarships we saw pop up. Neither of us were what I would classify as poor, but we were still going to struggle a little, so every tiny bit helped. In Casey's case, it might give her a way to get out from under Grandma Williams' tyrannical rule earlier. Unfortunately, however, any money she was awarded would just reduce the balance owed, which would actually just save the old hag's pennies. Maybe there was a heart in there somewhere, and she'd at least share a little of it with Casey? I know, but a boy can dream, right? I closed up my laptop, put it in the bag, and gave Casey a hug and kiss intending to leave. She talked me into sitting on the couch and cuddling, waiting to see if we could stall until her mom came out of hiding and maybe guilt her into fixing us a late lunch. I sat on the edge of the couch and waited for Casey to put up her computer. When she returned, she jumped over the back, slid between me and the seat, and wrapped her arms and legs around me. I melted back into her. This felt so good. I leaned my head backwards and she gave me a Spider-Man kiss. She must have gotten the image in her head at the same time as me, and we spoiled the kiss by giggling and blowing air into each other's mouths. She pushed my shoulders forward a little and started playing with my hair. I don't know if a girl had ever done that before. The hairs all up and down my neck and back were standing on end and my dick was getting hard.
Case?
Yeah? You're gonna need to stop that. She snickered.
Why?
It's a little erotic.
Seriously?
Yeah. I think you get a hard-on from any bodily contact. She complained.
Well, honestly, the hugs were just super cozy, but this hair thing has me feeling like I touched an electric fence.
Switch me.
What?
Trade me places. I got up and she scooted forward. I climbed behind her and sat down. My dick was immediately very happy.
You pervert.
There is nothing perverted about your perfectly proportioned posterior. She snort laughed.
Get your dick out of my ass, mister.
Can't.
Just focus. I'll try to get it to behave.
Whatever. She leaned her head forward and I massaged the back of her neck and her shoulders.
That's nice.
I worked from her cheeks, to her ears, along her neck, down to the top of her spine and then a little harder on her shoulders.
Easy.
She rolled her shoulders and raised her head up. I ran my fingers through her hair, massaging her scalp along the top, along the front, down the sides and back along the top.
That feels good, but I can kind of see what you're saying. If I imagine you're coloring my hair, it's okay, but if I think about your penis in my ass.
You're thinking about my penis being in your ass? She growled at me and jumped up. Her mom was standing behind the couch.
Do I need to separate you two?
Mrs. Williams laughed.
Mom!
Reggie's touching me inappropriately.
Seemed pretty appropriate to me. She said, chuckling.
You two hungry?
Yes.
We chorused together. I'll make sandwiches if you two will get salads, some fruit, and drinks. I'm not sure that was the menu Casey had been hoping for, but we went with it. As we ate, Mrs. Williams asked us about our conversation with Pastor John. I don't know if she was worried that we were going to admit to the two of us fucking or if she was just generally curious about the meeting. I grabbed Casey's plate and things and followed her mom to the dishwasher. She put her items inside, took what I was holding and added it, taking a little longer than necessary, leaning forward a little more than was required. I lifted the edge of her skirt. She wasn't wearing any panties. She hadn't moved. I assumed she was waiting for something. I stroked the tip of my finger along her slit. It was wet.
Yes.
She moaned.
Please, Reggie.
Please what? Her daughter called from the table where she had her tablet out. Your mother has no panties on under her skirt, and she's bent over the dishwasher begging me to help her out.
Just push the start button.
Casey giggled. Her mother scowled back at me. I reached between her legs, found her distended clit, and gently rubbed it.
Fuck yes.
Mrs. Williams gasped.
Did you get it turned on?
Casey asked, looking up again and giggling.
Not sure.
I replied.
I may have to try again. Maybe I didn't push the button hard enough.
My future mother-in-law stayed where she was, but she spread her knees, giving me easier access to her button and everything in between. I dropped my pants, slotted my now swollen prick into her perfect pussy, and then reached around to hold onto her clit again before shoving forward and burying my penis inside of her exquisite quim.
Fuck!
She moaned, grabbing hold of the counter with both hands to steady herself. My hands went to the counter as well, just outside of hers, as I started drilling in and out of her amazing pussy.
You get it started, finally?
Casey laughed. Neither her mother nor I could compose a sentence to respond. I wasn't sure about my former teacher whose beautiful body I was currently invading, but I couldn't even come up with a whole word. I grunted as I powered my aching cock in and out of her slippery sex. I kept my left hand on the countertop but reached under her blouse to find her tender titties to abuse those like I was abusing her taut twat. She wasn't wearing a bra. I groped both of her breasts, thumbing her nipples until they were rock hard, continuing to drive my flesh sword in and out of her gripping tightness. My balls were churning, building a huge load of splooge for me to dump into this woman, my fiancé's mother. Her moans were getting louder, as were my grunts, and still I plowed her depths. Her sexy sounds were propelling me. Her pussy felt so good, dragging up and down the length of my rod.
Fuck!
I was getting so close. I gripped her right breast hard and started really pounding into her. We both grunted as our sexes slammed together again and again. I stood up, grabbed her hips with both hands, and started jackhammering her twat, my nuts slapping against her mons each time I bottomed out inside of her. I don't know if my eyes rolled up into my head or what, but the lights went out. I was fucking blind. It didn't matter. I was standing at the edge of the abyss. So fucking close, just a little more. Fuck! Dancing lights went off inside my eyelids. I started pumping jets of seminal fluid into my sexy science teacher, and still I pounded her. Each time my cock drove deep, it fired another blast of seed at her womb. Every fucking time, I could see again. I was awake. I was laying over the top of my lover's back. Her fingers were white. She was still gripping the countertop. She was panting. Sorry! I apologized, willing my body to move, but nothing happened. "It's okay," she replied. "Not heavy. Just came so hard," she finished. I finally got my strength and stepped back, sliding my sloppy cock from her raw twat. I looked down. Mrs. Williams was a mess. She had shit running everywhere. Some of it looked like mine, but most of it looked like hers. I grabbed the quicker picker-upper and started cleaning her legs, the door of the dishwasher, and the floor. She was still leaning forward, gripping the counter, catching her breath. When I finished discarding the refuse, I went to grab my pants to pull them up, but she stopped me, turning to face me, taking my cock and balls in one hand and using her other one to pull my face to hers. "Thank you," she said, as serious as death itself, and then pulled me into a kiss that was threatening to reawaken my cock. Her hand, massaging that very item, wasn't helping. I gave up, threw my arms around her, and kissed her like I'd fucked her hard. Her hand left my cock and reached around to pull me more tightly to her face. When we were both breathless, she leaned her forehead to mine and whispered, "I love you. I'm so glad you agreed to this whole messy arrangement." "Messy is right," I laughed, looking down. She laughed as well and pulled me into a bear hug. "Fuck," she said. "I'd forgotten what it was like to be loved. You're very easy to love, beautiful," I said, pulling her chin over for another kiss, this one as soft as her fabulous breasts. "You're such a suck-ass." She laughed but kissed me again. "You fucked me good, young man. I'm gonna have to go shower. Want to join me?" "Mother," Casey laughed. "He's never going to get home if you don't quit. He's like a little teddy bear," her mother complained. "He's so adorable and cuddly. I can't help myself." "Yeah," laughed Casey. "A teddy bear with a nice dick. It is nice," her mother said, grinning. She grabbed my jaw and gave me one last kiss before she headed upstairs, leaving me to start the dishwasher. "What time do you go to church?" Casey asked. "Why? I should probably go with you. Pastor John won't care," I replied. She just looked at me, waiting. 10 o'clock. "Pick me up at 9:30? If you want." "Yes, please, and come give me a kiss like that one you just gave my mother before you grab your stuff to head home." I picked her up and carried her to the couch. "Reggie," she warned. I dropped onto the couch and sat her, sideways, on my lap, hugging her and kissing the corner of her mouth until she finally gave up and faced me so I could give her a clit-tingling lip lock. "Mmm. That's nice. I love you. I love you. And Mom? I do love your mom. And her pussy? She has a very nice pussy," I agreed. "Is this going to work?" she asked. I laughed. "You just sat at the table and talked me through foreplay with your mother." "Yes. I think you get almost as much out of my relationship with her as you do mine with you. Will that change when we're physical?" "We're physical right now. You know what I mean, dummy." I waited. "Sorry. You're not dumb. Show me your pussy and I'll forgive you. You're just after my body." I waited again. That was out of line. "You have been more patient than any of the others. I've only had to wait like a week. We dry humped the other day and I thought I broke you." She kissed me gently but firmly. "You are being patient. I should be nicer to you. So you will? Will what? Show me your pussy. In 2 weeks, we will be married. When that happens, you had better be ready. Until then, no touching, no looking, no licking?" I'm not quite sure how she managed it, but she was straddling my lap and tickling my sides. "Stop! Stop! I'll quit. Are we a little ticklish?" she giggled. I was trapped. "Yes," I gasped. "Please! Stop! I'll be good." She hugged my neck and kissed me, grinding her pussy on my crotch. I was gasping for breath when we separated and she said, "You are good and I love you and I want to show you my pussy so bad." She gave me one last peck and then climbed off of me to return to her tablet at the table. I grabbed my pack and stopped to give her one more kiss before heading out the door. Sunday. I sat between Casey and Mom during church, holding my fiancé's hand. Mom looked over at us a couple times and smiled happily. When she did, Casey squeezed my fingers. Pastor John greeted us on our way out and then said, "See you Saturday." I gave Casey a kiss and hug when we dropped her off. On the way home, Mom commented on how cute she had looked in her sundress. I thought about how much I wanted to see her out of it. She was hot, no matter what she wore. We met a Lincoln Continental on the road. Since Mom was driving, we were in her car. I texted Casey. "Hag might be coming or just patrolling. We just met her on the road. Thanks. Love you. Love you too. Mom liked your dress, I liked your ass. Your ass is nice too." A couple seconds later, she asked, "Where do your mom's parents live? Should we visit?" Florida. We could FaceTime.
Should we?
Probably.
You want to come over later?
Okay.
I looked over at Mom.
Casey's gonna come over later so we can FaceTime Mimi and Pop.
Oh. That's nice.
Think Mrs. Williams might come too?
I've got stuff to make tacos.
It would be fun to have company.
I'll ask.
Mom's making tacos and wants to know if you want to bring your mom for dinner.
Hang on.
We were almost home by the time she answered.
Mom wants to know what to wear.
Tell her to wear a suit.
I sent, adding the birthday cake emoji hoping Casey would figure out what kind of suit I was talking about.
LOL.
I'll tell her.
A few seconds later she sent.
I will not repeat what she said.
LOL.
NSFW.
I couldn't think of anything safe to reply so I just left it.
Mom and I had sandwiches for lunch and then she got on Facebook while I went to my room to play a computer game. Paul and Nick signed in and we chatted about how things were going.
Natalie had gone to church with Nick.
He was over the moon that she was interested in a real relationship and not just a quick fuck.
I was super happy for him.
Paul said that Cindy had tapped on his window after closing at Benny's last night and had climbed inside when he opened it. She shoved him down onto the bed and used her mouth to slide a condom onto his cock. He said they were making his bed creak so loudly that he was worried they were going to wake up his parents. He had shot off early before Cindy could come, but he got her off with his mouth. They had lain together and chatted until almost 2. Then she had crawled back out of his window and headed home. We weren't really paying attention to the game with catching up on each other's lives and we were getting our asses handed to us. Mom yelled and I signed off heading to the kitchen to help her get all of the taco fixins ready. We were low on sour cream so she sent me to the store. I grabbed a carton of Purple Cow's Mackinac Island fudge ice cream for after. I got back just before Casey and her mom knocked on the door. I let them in. Casey gave me a kiss and went to give my mom a hug. Mrs. Williams gave me a kiss and groped my dick with one hand while hugging me with the other. I turned my body so that, hopefully, my mother couldn't see where my mother-in-law's other hand was. My MILF lover winked at me and gave me another quick kiss before heading into the kitchen to greet my mother. Meanwhile, I tried to adjust the tent in my pants. After dinner and ice cream, Casey and I headed to the couch to connect with Mom's parents whom I had texted after lunch to set up the call. Mom and Mrs. Williams went down the hall, to the den, to give us privacy. My grandparents already knew we were getting married but were ecstatic to get to see, and talk to, my bride before the big day. They cruised the beaches, early each morning, looking for treasures and getting in their steps. They promised to bring us a bag of beach loot when they came up for the wedding. I quietly hoped the big shark's tooth that I had spotted on the end table would make it in there. I'd wanted one forever but every time we went down to visit I never had any luck. When Pop and Mimi signed off, Casey and I chatted a little going over a few more of the wedding details that seemed to pop up endlessly. I asked her if my stalker had visited. She laughed and said no, apparently she was just being nosy. Finally, we went down the hallway to check on the moms. They were chatting. Casey asked her mom if she was ready to head home. My former teacher asked about the restroom and then excused herself to stop there first. We chatted with Mom until Mrs. Williams returned. Mom gave them both hugs and then I walked them to the door where Casey got a hug and kiss and her mom groped me to hardness again while kissing the life out of me before her daughter smacked her on the ass and told her to get moving. I stopped at the restroom before heading to my room. When I walked into my bedroom, I found a pair of Mrs. Williams' panties on my pillow. They were still wet with her sensuous juices. Her scent was so strong, it was almost tangible. I laid the surprise gift back on my pillow and went to play a couple more computer games before bed. Paul and Nick joined me again but this time we focused on the game instead of talking about our love lives and we did a lot better. Signing off of the game, I'd already thought about my plan. I stripped naked and sat on the side of my bed with the wastebasket in front of me. I held my science teacher's pungent panties to my nose and jerked my meat while thinking about how wonderful her pussy felt every single time I'd gotten the chance to fuck her. In no time at all, I was emptying a box of Kleenex to clear away the evidence of my sin. I stuck the intoxicating undies in the drawer of my nightstand. I was pretty sure I would need them again later.
Tuesday.
Nick called. He and Natalie were going to go see a movie and invited me and Casey along. I texted her, and she was up for it. Casey sat next to her cousin so they could talk as if they didn't pretty much talk every day anyway. So, I didn't see much of Nick. He seemed to be happy holding Natalie's hand and watching the movie. Afterwards, we hit McDonald's for sweet teas and French fries. Casey started telling Natalie about Cindy's clit text and soon they were giggling like schoolgirls. Natalie noticed Nick getting embarrassed though, and wrapped herself around his arm, giving him a peck on the cheek. He looked back at her like she was the only person on the planet. She tucked her head into his neck, the top of her scalp nestled against his jaw.
Someday,
she promised him, in a whisper.
You and I have a few more ghosts to bury first.
She looked back up, into his face. He pursed his lips and leaned forward. She met him halfway. It was short and sweet and afterwards as she snuggled into him again she looked over at Casey and mouthed.
Our first kiss.
Casey reached over and squeezed Natalie's hand. I nodded my head at Nick. We finished our treats and said our goodbyes. As I started the car, to take her home, I told Casey about the panties her mother had left in my room.
What did you do with them, dirty boy?
She asked, knowingly. I told her in detail.
I should probably take those back home before your mother finds them.
She said. I drove to the house. Casey followed me in, staying quiet since Mom appeared to have gone to bed already. In my room, with the door shut, she made me show her what I had done with her mother's secret gift.
I didn't move the trash can, but I got undressed, laid across the bed, held the panties against my face, and slowly stroked my cock. She took the panties from my face and told me to put my hands under my ass, palms up. She climbed onto the bed, straddled my head, laid her mother's musky panties across my face, and lowered the crotch of her Daisy Dukes onto my lingerie-covered mouth and nose. My already stiff cock got even harder. It struggled to grow to reach my lover to feel her touch. Casey leaned forward, her clothes dragging across my naked body, setting my nerves on fire. Her soft hand wrapped around my swollen rod, slowly tentatively stroking down to the root and back up to the head. I moaned. She stroked me again so slowly. I tried to chew through her mother's panties to reach the cloth of her shorts. Stop. Just me. I think I whimpered. Casey had, obviously, gotten a bit of her mother's wicked sense of humor. She released my dick, spit into her hand, and then lathered her saliva into the head of my prick with her palm. The stimulation was ball-wrenching. I squirmed and moaned. Be quiet. She wriggled her ass around, rubbing the lacy panties across my face, chafing me, reawakening the smell of her mother's sexy juices on the garment. I inhaled deeply. The smell of her mother's pussy filled my sinuses and sparked memories of my cock buried inside of that gloriously tight gash. I groaned. Casey stopped tormenting my cockhead and went back to stroking me. Faster now. Casey. I warned. I was close to reaching my limit. She was driving me insane. The stimulation, the smells, the weight of her body on top of mine, this was as close to sex as I'd ever had with my beautiful bride. Her right hand was stroking me. Her left teased my sack, stoking the fires in my belly, spurring my testes to produce more and more seed. More. More. I was in trouble. It was coming. I was coming. Still, she stroked me, her hand so soft. I thought of her face so close to my sex. Ugh. My body tensed and focused all of its energy on delivering my spunk from my testicles to my pisshole. My ejaculate was going to blast all over the floor of my room, but there was nothing I could do about it. Honestly, I didn't care. Casey was still stroking my dick. I felt a sock envelope my cock, the coarse material brushing across the skin, overstimulating the already sensitive head. Casey's hand was slowly stroking again just before jet after jet of semen fired from my aching penis. She reached down and massaged my nuts, encouraging the last of my seed to accept their quest. Her hand grasped my sock-covered cock and slowly stroked me, milking me dry. When the last of the aftershocks had stopped pulsing through my rod, she pulled the sock off, dabbing at my seed spitter to clean away a stray drop. As she climbed off of my face, her mother's panties slipped to the side and I saw a wet spot in the crotch of her shorts. I giggled. What? That got you off? I asked, laughing. Maybe. Pervert. Your sock's a mess. I came so hard. I admitted. I notice. She laughed. Would you hate me if I told you I was hoping you'd suck me? No, but I'm waiting. When you get to see my pussy, we'll see what you do with it. I might reciprocate. I'll wait. I love you. I know you do. You wouldn't put up with our torment, mine and mom's, if you didn't love us. Maybe I just like it. Maybe, but I don't think so. She leaned down and kissed me. She took the naughty panties and tucked them back into the drawer of my nightstand. I thought you were taking them home. You can keep them another day or two. You earned it. I did, huh? She nodded and bit her lower lip. I stood, wrapped her in my arms, and kissed that lip a bunch of times, showing her how much I was in love with her. Get dressed. You still need to drive me home. It was quiet in Mom's room, so I was hoping we hadn't wakened her. As I pulled onto Mulberry Street, Casey called out. What the fuck? I looked up to see a white Lincoln Continental sitting in front of the house two doors down from Casey's. I eased up next to the vehicle, but, as far as we could tell, there was no one inside. We looked at the house she, obviously Grandma Williams, was parked in front of, but every light in the house was off, which wasn't too surprising since it was almost 10 o'clock at night. The house across the street was just as dark. I put my car in park, got out, ran around between our vehicles and confirmed that the old hag wasn't lying in the floorboard. Since I was already out, I ducked down by her driver's side, rear tire, unscrewed the cap, turned it in my fingers, and used the edge to depress the check valve, slowly letting the air out of her tire. I was a little nervous because it was going more slowly than I had hoped. Casey opened my glove box, found a plastic fork, and handed it out the window. Now we were cooking. I doubt you could hear the air escaping from the tire and a muted whistle from too far away, but from where I was at it was deafening. In a couple minutes, the tire was low enough that no one should be driving on it. It wasn't flat, but it was going to create problems. I replaced the cap, ducked back around to my door, and climbed in. I dropped the car into gear and eased into the driveway. Can I sleep on the couch? I asked my fiancé, grinning. Sure, she said, shoving me out of the car and clambering out behind me, giggling. She ran upstairs and grabbed us pillows. I took off my shoes, socks, shirt, and pants, laid my pillow on the arm of the couch, crawled into my makeshift bed, rolled to my side, and pulled the throw over me. Casey threw her pillow on my butt and laid on me. While she was getting situated, her finger jabbed me in the shithole, but she claimed it was an accident. Even if it had been, which I doubted, she giggled about it far too long. Nobody knocked on the door. Nobody tapped on the window. Nobody's phone rang, but when I left Casey's house early the next morning, Grandma's Williams battleboat was nowhere to be seen. Just for SNG, I drove by her house. The garage door was down, as usual, so I wasted my time. Fuck. Now I'm being as nosy as her. Thursday. Mom was fixing breakfast when I came in the door. Were you and Casey here last night? She asked.
Yeah, for a little while. She nodded knowingly.
Are you being careful?
We're just playing around.
No sex.
We haven't even done oral.
We're waiting.
That's TMI.
I probably shouldn't have asked.
I worry.
I wrapped my arms around her.
I love you for that.
I'm glad you're honoring her trust.
She's very special.
Her mom likes you a lot.
I am very fond of both of them.
We haven't really talked about it, but I expect that I will be moving in there once we're married. I kind of figured since you've been gone half the weekend since you started seeing her.
She pulled back to look at me.
You don't think you're moving too fast?
I thought about me, laying on Casey's bed, making out with her as her mother rode my cock until I filled her with danger sauce.
It's definitely been a bit of a wild ride.
I said, only realizing after the words had come out of my mouth what a double entendre it was.
She is one of the most analytical girls I think I've ever met.
She's beautiful.
She is, but she isn't stuck up.
You've liked her for a while.
Until she hit me with this spreadsheet thing, I didn't even think she knew I existed. As it turns out, she had really done her homework, no pun intended.
Mom giggled.
I'm having an egg sandwich and a glass of Sunny D. You want some?
That would be great. Since she was already standing at the stove, I grabbed the carton of eggs and the juice jug for her and went to collect a plate, fork, and glass. Mom cracked two eggs into the still warm skillet. I threw two slices of bread into the toaster, poured our juice, and returned the cold stuff to the fridge. As we ate, I told her about taking Casey home and discovering Grandma Williams' car, although I didn't mention what I'd done.
That's why you stayed there?
Yeah. Her grandma's nasty and Casey and her mom both get really anxious whenever she's around. I thought I'd stay in case the witch showed up at the door. The car was gone when I came home, though.
She definitely seems to have an overactive interest in what's going on in that house.
Mom said. I didn't say anything else. This was the first time I had mentioned Grandma Williams, and the story was sordid enough that I didn't want to give Mom everything because I'd have to be careful about not revealing things I should be keeping quiet. I thought back to what my dad's mom had said about the woman, however, and just about shot my Sunny D out of my nose as I was finishing my juice.
You okay?
Mom gasped, jumping up. I was laughing as I ran to grab a paper towel to clean myself.
Yet just thinking about something Grandma Mitchell said about Casey's grandma. Apparently, she remembers her from school.
If my mother-in-law doesn't like her, there must be a reason. Mom said. Grandma said she obviously hasn't changed much over the years. I said, paraphrasing generously.
Oh my.
Mom replied. Friday. At 5 o'clock, Mom and I got into her car to head to number 24 Mulberry. On the way there, it started to rain. Since I tentatively planned to go putt-putting, I needed a new idea. Mom wasn't too hot on mini-golf anyway, so she wasn't disappointed. I texted Casey. She checked with her mom, but their first suggestion was also an outdoor activity. I thought about how much fun the wedding party had, doing the escape room challenge, and asked Casey if she thought the four of us could handle one by ourselves. She said she thought her mom would like it, and I was pretty sure mine would as well. We let the moms pick the room.
It was a blowout.
We were out of the room with 15 minutes to spare, and Casey and I barely even got to help. The moms, however, had a heyday and were unabashedly joyful about their victory. The girl at the counter told us that only one other group had beaten that room with a faster time. We bought the two of them t-shirts that proclaimed their triumph with the name of the room emblazoned across the front. Mrs. Williams immediately ripped off her blouse to don the new shirt, briefly flashing her lacy boulder holder to everyone in the lobby during the exchange. I was just glad she'd been wearing a bra. Mom excused herself to the ladies' room and came back wearing her new shirt as well. We got in the car and headed to Benny's for dinner. Mrs. Williams rode up front with Mom and Casey rode in the back with me. The two of us were just holding hands and sitting close, but my future mother-in-law kept looking back at us like we were having sex. Casey finally stuck her tongue out at her mom, and she turned to face the front. We walked into Benny's to see that the place looked completely different, well, not completely. The kitchen, the counter, and the seating was the same, but the menus were now digital and the old cash register had been replaced with a tablet. Cindy giggled and showed me that she could undock the device to take our order at the table. Paul waved from the booth in the back where it looked like he'd set up a whole computer shop. Benny came out to say hello to Mom and to meet Mrs. Williams. He was gushing about all of the updates that Paul had made. We left Cindy's dad talking to the moms and went back to see Paul. When she stood next to him, he reached around and grabbed her butt. She leaned down and gave him a kiss. She told us that her dad was so excited about everything Paul was doing that she was secretly worried that the two of them were in love, and she was just the side bitch. Paul had updated Benny's website, adding online ordering with a printer in the kitchen that spat out a ticket for each order so Benny could keep them all straight. He had also managed to bring the restaurant's inventory and ordering system into the new century. Cindy said her dad was amazed at how the computer had already ordered what they needed before Benny even knew they were running low. They'd had signs made for two parking spaces, devoted solely to curbside pickup, and were going to be getting three more for when things were busy, and things were busier than ever. The online ordering had almost doubled their sales. Cindy said her dad was so happy that he'd taken Paul's suggestion to close on Mondays and Tuesdays without blinking an eye. Everybody's stress was much more manageable now that they got a break each week, even with them being busier the other days. Paul had grabbed a couple big screen TVs on the cheap during Prime Day and had moved Benny's menus from analog to digital. Everybody was happy about not having to dig out a stepladder to update prices, and customers seemed to go crazy over the pictures Paul had added for each menu item. Cindy confided that her dad had asked her if she was
taking good care of the boy to make sure he stuck around. He'd even taken her to the doctor to get her on the pill. Paul started blushing when she mentioned that part. She leaned over and whispered, 2 more days. You'd better be ready. He turned as red as a beet, but he was smiling from ear to ear. We got back to the table to find that Benny had already headed off, hearing the kitchen printer coughing up a fresh round of requests. Cindy grabbed the tablet to take our orders while Paul and Benny argued over which of them was going to pay for our meal. Despite Casey claiming she was going to pick a smaller sandwich the last time we had come, she ordered the same thing I did, saying that she just wanted leftovers to take home. Mrs. Williams and my mom went with the junior version. Casey and I sat side by side, each of us across the table from our future mother-in-law. The moms, of course, were pestering us for more details on all of the wedding plans since it was just over a week away. When the food came, Mrs. Williams didn't use a knife to cut her sandwich in half. She looked at me lustily, opened her mouth wide, and shoved as much in as she could. Under the table, she had slipped her foot from her sandal. As she wedged the meat monster between her lips and stared into my eyes, she was stroking my cock with her bare foot. There was no way I was going to be able to eat while she was doing that, so I calmly waited for her to finish, hoping she didn't finish me first. She finally gnawed a bite off of the beast burger and started to chew. I picked up half of mine to grab a quick bite before she decided to try for round two. She didn't foot-fuck me anymore while we were sitting there, but she took a really long time sucking her fingers clean when her food had disappeared. I swear she licked, and sucked, every finger at least twice. Thankfully, my mom didn't seem to notice the sexy show her seatmate was giving me. Casey did, however, but she kept quiet. I assume she was hoping not to draw extra attention to the scene, but maybe she was just enjoying her mother teasing me yet again. I admit that I had been a little curious about how the evening's arrangements were going to go, but I've gotta admit that I was surprised when mom pulled into the drive, put her car in park, and went to the trunk to grab an overnight bag. Apparently, the moms had arranged for a slumber party of sorts. We started out at the kitchen table, finishing off the shakes that we'd brought home from Benny's, while playing cards. After that, everyone changed into jammies and gathered in the front room. Casey and I snuggled on the couch while the moms took over the recliners. We dimmed the lights and talked until after midnight. At that point, Casey and her mom grabbed a couple more throws and some pillows. Casey got one end of the couch while I got the other. The moms reclined their chairs and tucked in for the night. I had warned Casey and her mom when my mother had gone to change into her pajamas that she snored loudly. Within a few minutes, however, they got the first real taste of what that meant. Casey ended up grabbing a tissue and wedging small chunks of it into her ears. Playing with fire. Sometime in the wee hours of the morning, I woke up to the feeling of hot, wet suction on my penis. I leaned my head up to find Mrs. Williams kneeling between my knees with her head and shoulders covered by the bottom half of my small blanket. Not 5 paces away, my mother was lying, unconscious, in a recliner with her head thrown back, her mouth hanging open, and the sounds of a sawmill billowing out of her throat. Mrs. Williams was being quiet. There was no head bobbing. There was no gack, 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 as the head of my cock bounced off the roof of her mouth. There was just the endless, powerful suction along my entire cock as she slid her face forward and backward over and over and over again as she slowly fucked my penis with her lips, mouth, tongue, and throat. I couldn't moan. I couldn't groan. I wanted to reach for her head to tell her to stop, but I didn't want her to stop, not until I was done. Fuck! It wasn't as if Casey or my mother were going to be confused about what was happening if they woke up and looked over at me at us. Mrs. Williams was, quite obviously, sucking my dick. So, I threw the throw to the floor. It had to have been suffocatingly hot under there, and I didn't want the sexy seductress to have any reason to stop what she was doing. If she noticed the blanket being removed, she didn't act like it. The pace of her mouth fucking itself onto and off of my aching cock never faltered. My entire length was thrumming, anxious for what was coming. My former anatomy teacher stared into my eyes as she sucked my cock in and out of her mouth. Her lips and tongue added slippery friction to the glorious gripping her throat muscles were giving my glands. I noticed her hand was moving and looked down to see that she was fingering her naked pussy, the pussy she had shaved 2 weeks ago. She had no clothes on. Not a stitch. Fuck. If mom woke up, it was the end of the charade. I watched the full breasts of my lover sway back and forth as my dick passed over her lips to be buried deep in her throat, only for her to lick down its length as she pulled back once more. She shuddered as her orgasm arrived. Her mouth stuttered on my cock, which amplified the stimulation. But it was her jiggling breasts, her frantic fingers, and the look on her face as her climax claimed her that set my balls to belching my seed down this wanton woman's tight throat. I reached over and grabbed the back of her head to make sure the cannon blasts bypassed her mouth and headed straight for her stomach. Based on her face, she was still lost to her own crescendo, and drowning her in cock's knot would be poor manners. Mom stirred and stopped snoring as the last burst of semen left my penis and fired down Mrs. Williams' throat. I froze. I was sitting / laying on the couch next to my fiancé, holding the back of my mother-in-law's head with my rigid rod rammed down her throat as the last of my man milk filled her belly. She mumbled in her sleep, pulled the throw up a little, relaxed, and went back to snoring. Fuck! I looked down to see Mrs. Williams grinning at me with her mouth full as I held her face on my still stiff cock. She started to pull back and I released my grip. She retreated until only the crown was in her mouth, which she sucked one more time. Silently, she crawled up my body, pressing her mouth to my own, which prevented me from crying out in alarm as she slid my cock inside of her juicy twat. For fuck's sake! I was fairly certain that every ounce of semen had been vacuumed forcefully from my body, and there was no way this woman, this sexy bitch, this hot-as-fuck MILF was going to be able to coax any more from me. Apparently, that was not part of the science teacher's equation. Unable to speak because of what her lips and mouth were doing to mine, I was helpless as I listened to the squelching sounds of my slippery rod sliding in and out of my mother-in-law's pussy as she fucked her needy twat on my battered cock. In for a penny, in for a pound, I thought, and grabbed her perfect ass, groping and grasping as she used me as a human dildo. Finally convinced that I wasn't going to scream, she stopped kissing me and laid her head on my shoulder, her mouth millimeters from my ear. I came so hard, she whispered. And you're going to make me come again. I held my lips closed tightly to remind myself not to moan. What will happen if your mother wakes up? She teased. Will she tell the world what a whore I am? How I'm addicted to my son-in-law's cock? Will the school district fire me for fucking one of my students? Mom stirred again and my lover gasped in my ear. I thought she had seen something and a terrible jolt pounded through my chest, but she was just fucking with me. The adrenaline coursed through my veins, making if it were possible my cock even harder. My shameless lover started fucking me faster. How were the two of them not hearing this? How were they not waking up? My heart was pounding in my chest. My dick was swollen and sore aching from trying to grow more surface area for this woman's pussy to stimulate and stroke. I wasn't sure how she had managed it, but my fun bag was full again. My testes were painful from being overworked but excited to be back in the game once more. Her body felt so right. There was never a time when I didn't want to fuck this woman, to feel her body against mine skin to skin, or to have my manhood buried deep in her vagina trying to reach inside of her womb to deliver my seed to fill her, to breed her. Lost in my own mind, I hadn't realized how loud she had gotten. Her breath was ragged. She was racing to oblivion. She squeaked and her body tensed. Her pussy squirted on me and that was the end. For the second time in God only knows how many minutes, my testicles were firing every drop of semen they could produce into my lover's trembling tightness. I grabbed her head and kissed her hard to keep the curse words from spewing from my mouth the way my seed was spewing from my penis. When the tension had finally passed, I held her cheek to my chest and gasped for breath, smelling the tang of our sex in the air. My bride-to-be's mother raised herself up, gave me a gentle kiss, and climbed off of my body. She reached down, grabbed my throat, threw it on top of me, walked back to her recliner, and picked up her pajamas. I watched by the soft glow of the nightlight on the stairs, as my adult lover slid her sexy, naked body back into her fuzzy PJs. She sat down, laid the recliner back, pulled her blanket up to her neck, winked at me, and closed her eyes. This story is continued in the next part. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts, their links are in the description of this episode. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions with bonus episodes.